Good morning. Welcome to the Arizona Massage Board. Therapy, little notes, we've reserved the right to change the order of items published in the agenda except for public hearings set for a specific time. During the board meeting and upon a vote of majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorneys pursuant Arizona Revised Statutes, ARS 38-431.03A3, and on any items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendees who presence is not required in an executive session can remain in the board meeting when the board withdraws so chambers of the for an executive session. Any and all legal action will take place in the open session. Okay, so call to order, roll call.
Actually, before we get started, can you ask for your name?
Emily Clark here.
Bill Beard.
Victoria Bowman.
John Ortega.
Earl Besky, present. So, call to the public. Pursuant to ARS 38-431, the board may take an open call to the public during a public meeting, subject to a reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on the matters raised during the open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review the matter and may ask that the matter be put on a future agenda. Do we have any call to the public? I believe we do. Declarations of conflict of interest. Everybody's good? Okay. So, review discussion, round number five. Review discussion and possible action on the board meeting minutes. Discussion and approval of the open session minutes from February 28th, 2019 board meeting. You want to do all three, A, B, and C?
Yeah, Bill Beard, I move that item 5A, B, and C, the open and executive session minutes from February 28th and March 25th, be accepted as presented.
Emily Clark, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So, any opposed? So moved. Items for board review, discussion, and possible action. Upon a vote of majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session. We've already read that. Do I need to read that again? No. Okay. So, number 6A, formal hearings. We have file number 19-138, Young Q.
Mr. Chair, if I may be heard on that matter?
Yes.
And I didn't see it necessarily in the board packet, but you may have received a motion to continue stipulated between the parties on that hearing. There was some unavailability or inability to get a translator, and so there was discussion in between your last meeting and this meeting between the parties and the respondent, Q. filed a stipulated motion with the state's approval to continue this matter to, I believe it's going to be your just June 24th meeting. Based on the nature of the allegations not being very serious in nature and the need for a translator, apparently the state was fine with that continuance. And I told the respondents' counsel that I would present that motion on behalf of both parties. So they're not here, I don't believe, by essentially our understanding that they didn't need to be just to submit this stipulated motion.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Victoria Bowman, I move that we postpone file 19-138 to the 6/24/19 meeting.
Bill Beard, second.
Do we need a roll call?
Yeah, we do all in favor.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? So moved. File number 6A, number 2, file number 19-147, Caleb Cherry. So, did you have any more information?
No, I already read it.
So.
I got a piece here.
How do you?
Oh, the motion to deem. So, I need to. Are we going to do the motion to deem, which is D, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, is he here? No, is he present?
I don't believe so.
No. Oh. Okay. And he didn't come forth, so.
F.
Let me get to the right page.
F is in Frank.
F. Yeah. I thought it was D. This is the time, date, and place where the matter dealing with case number 19-147 is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Massage Therapy Board. Appearances, will the parties please identify themselves for the state and then respond it?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Michael Rain on behalf of the state.
Okay. The state filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearings as admitted. If granted, the board will treat all allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as true and move directly to a determination that it, of what discipline is appropriate in light of the violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about its request, and then the respondent can address the board. Please address your remarks to the issue of whether you received the complaint of notice of hearing and why you did not timely file an answer as required by the event. State makes the presentation.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, the state has filed the motion to deem the allegations admitted. That is because the only answer that was received, which is attached to our motion to deem, was not, in the state's argument, an answer at all or a denial of anything. When you look at their filing, Mr. Cherry, who acknowledges in his filing receiving the complaint, and he does this through counsel, also states that his pending criminal charges prevent him from being able to discuss anything regarding this matter on the record. He then later goes on to say that he has no intention of ever using his license again or asking the board to have a hearing on this matter. So in light of the fact that the only response to the complaint did not admit or deny any of the allegations, it specifically said that he won't be able to discuss them with you, and said that he has no interest in even having a hearing or using his license again in the future, the state's position was it's not an answer, and under your motion to deem statutes, you have the authority to deem these allegations admitted. But because it's not exactly a complete non-appearance, sometimes you just get nothing in return to a complaint. I did want to briefly address two other options that you have, I think, that would be fine with the state if that's where you wanted to go as well. Number one is a reminder, this matter proceeds to hearing after summary suspension, so Mr. Cherry's license is suspended until a hearing happens. Normally, the boards have a duty to proceed promptly to a hearing after summary suspension, but here where you have the licensee in his written response saying that he would rather the matter be vacated and reset to another date or hold the matter in abeyance until his criminal case is resolved, he's essentially asking for this to be delayed further, given that he, and if you call that a motion to continue or otherwise, so be it. If you were to grant that, the outcome is that he remains suspended until we do have the hearing. So that wouldn't be, you know, the worst outcome. We don't think it's necessary because of the motion to deem, but I just want to let you know that if that was your preference, the state is okay with it only because he's currently suspended and we're essentially acknowledging his request or comfort with not having a hearing anytime soon, even though you've already suspended him. Lastly, so you could delay the matter, or to the extent you call this an answer, or you would rather just proceed on the merits today and have the hearing, the state is ready to proceed today as well. So those are the three options: deem him, continue it, or have the hearing today. If you choose any one of those three, we'll be ready. Thank you.
He doesn't want to practice anymore.
No, if he doesn't want to practice anymore, there's no reason for it.
So, I think we're going to go with motion to D. But everybody's in. I don't need a vote on that, do I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you do. Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move that the board grant the state's motion and deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted.
John Ortega, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? So moved.
Shouldn't that have been a roll call?
So we've now made the motion to the finding of the
Okay. The final issue for determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings and facts and conclusions of law we have adopted. We will.
Have we adopted the findings of facts?
Not yet.
So, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move the board adopt the factual allegations and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearings as findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Emily Clark, second.
Roll call. Not till the end. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. The final issue for determination of the appropriate discipline based on the findings, facts, and conclusions of law we have adopted. We will allow the parties to briefly address the issue, first the state and then the respondent.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, the state, based on the response that was received and the fact that we have three separate complaints here, the state believes that revocation would be appropriate. It defers to the board's determination.
Victoria Bowman, I move the board revoke the license.
Bill Beard, second.
Okay.
Emily Clark, yes.
Bill Beard, aye.
Victoria Bowman, aye.
John Ortega, yes.
Earl Desky, yes. So moved. Conclusion. This concludes the proceeding. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. Thank you for attending today. So, that is done then.
Mr. Chair, this is Mr. Rainigan. I do note that Mr. Castro is present. And so if it's the pleasure of the board, I'd ask that you consider moving to item 6E.
Okay.
What was the item again?
6E.
6E.
Rehearing or review.
So, rehearing script, do you know which one that is? Online review. Hold on. Yeah, there you go. I was looking in the wrong spot. Start on page 3. Under ARS 41-1092-.09 and AACR 4-15-401, parties to an administrative proceeding before the Board of Massage Therapy, the board may request a rehearing or review of an administrative decision. A written motion must be filed within 30 days after service of the final administrative decision. ARS 41-1092.09A1, which is effective on personal delivery of 5 days after the date the decision is mailed to the party's last known address.
Mr. Chair,
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I don't believe you're reading from the script, but rather a memo.
In the board packet, I don't actually see it from the board book for this matter. Here, I'm sorry, page 5 of section C.
There we are. Start on page 5?
Yeah, it's supposed to be by the board chairperson.
Okay. Thank you. Apologies. This is the date, time, and place where the request for rehearing and review filed by Sergio Castro is scheduled for a hearing to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy in file number 19-118. Will the parties please identify themselves for the record, starting with counsel for the state?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Michael Rain from the Attorney General's Office on behalf of the state.
Sergio Castro.
Thank you. Under AAC R4-15-401, the board may grant a rehearing of a case in part or in whole and review the decision if the moving party establishes that one or more of the grounds listed in the rule materially affected its rights during the administrative procedure. The board has reviewed the request for rehearing for review and the response to the request. Each party will have... Do we just get to make that up?
Usually it's about 5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes to address the board on this matter. This is a time for legal argument related to the grounds of rehearing or review of the parties. Should not use this time to present new evidence or testimony to the board regarding the merits of the case. Please clearly identify and explain the grounds that support rehearing or review. If the moving party claims that there is newly discovered material evidence, please identify each piece of evidence and why it was not been presented at the hearing. We will now proceed to the oral argument. We'll present first. Can we start with state? Okay, Mr. Castro.
Oh, good morning. My name is Sergio Castro, and I submitted a request to appeal the decision the board made back in February. I just submitted the information because I wanted to just explain that I want to continue doing the practice of massage therapy, and I have learned from my past mistakes. I have adjusted a lot of the techniques, the draping, the communication. I'm also scheduled to do my continuing education classes, scheduled for July and June. I'm going to take all the weekends so I can get all the required credits that you guys required last time. I'm just here basically pleading that if there's any other penalties instead of revoking my license, if you guys can consider that option, I want to continue doing it because I have a lot of clients that I help heal and I establish a good communication with them throughout the years. And that's basically my reason I'm here, that I want to continue doing this. And that's it. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. I get nervous when I do talk in public, but I'm just talking straight from the heart, and I'm sorry for everything, and I have learned from it.
So help us understand why you feel it's over, was the punishment was over.
Just revoking it for the mistakes that I make, you know, it's the decision you guys made, but I want to know if there's anything else that you guys can penalize me with or at least give me more time to at least close my clients and move them to another therapy or refer them to other massage therapists as well. I'm just basically, I don't know, just revoking it right away. I don't know. I'm lost for words.
You've got just a little over a minute. Is there anything else you can do?
I just want to continue doing it and helping my people, and I want to learn and grow and continue doing it.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry. I don't have
it. Mr. Chair, members of the board, again, Michael Rain on behalf of the state. One of the grounds for rehearing or review is that you had an excessive penalty. I understand that's what Mr. Castro's saying. At least, you know, he would like a lesser penalty. Just to be clear, though, you did have the authority to revoke the state, and no argument has been made to the contrary that wasn't with your authority. I'll just remind you that the case involving revocation was the second case that Mr. Castro had before the board within a number of months. He was on probation, having just had a hearing before you and then been placed on probation within a number of weeks, I think less than 2 weeks from that order being entered. He had this additional violation that was quite similar to the one that had just come before you. So the state's position at that time was you have the notice of the complaint in the first case to kind of put you on notice something's not right in your practice. You have a hearing where you're found to have violated the board's statutes. It's another reminder that you're not, practicing consistent with the state, the board's statutes and rules. Then you see an order that comes out of that, yet another reminder putting you on probation. And then it was subsequent to all of that that we received the complaint that came up last month, at the hearing that we're here today talking about. And so there were a number of times before these incidents occurred that you would have thought he would have already addressed these issues or maybe even taken a time out or otherwise not engaged in conduct that was quite similar to the past complaint. And so I'll just remind you of those facts. That said, the penalty decision is yours to make, and the state really takes no position on whether revocation was the only option or not. That's really up for you to decide. I think it was justified and you're comfortable with it, but it wasn't as extreme of cases as we have seen, but it was that fact pattern I just referenced to you that I think really supported your decision at the time. So we would just defer to your consideration, and thank you for your time.
Is he getting any more time?
Just
like 1 minute if you want it.
Well, I appreciate your time to hear this and thank you.
Okay. Is that it? The board has heard the arguments of the parties in reviewing the pleadings filed in this matter. The board may grant a rehearing, which means the whole case or a specified portion is reheard by the board or the ALJ, or review, which means that the board may reverse or modify its earlier decision based on grounds established by the party requesting review. The board may also deny the request and affirm the prior decision. If the motion is to grant rehearing or review, the maker of the motion must specify the grounds on which the rehearing or review is based. Rehearing or review would then be limited only to the specific grounds. Do I hear a motion? This time we can discuss it in it.
Yes.
Okay. Anything to discuss?
Got nothing.
Okay. I feel like you've got it, but this time the question is why do we take the time to get it?
Right.
My concern.
Nope. I don't think.
You presented no new evidence.
Pardon?
You presented no new evidence.
Correct. And the rehearing procedure is such that you've got to bring something to the table beyond just, you know, I'd like a different punishment.
So do we hear?
Our first job, John Ortega, our first job is to protect the public.
Your motion?
We're not the doctor's board. We don't give chance at the chance.
Bill Beard, I move that the board deny the request for rehearing or review.
Emily Clark, second.
Roll call vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Next page.
The board's decision will be reduced by a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. Thank you for attending today. Thank you, Mr. Sergeant. Thank you. That's true.
Okay, so we're on B.
Yes. I don't even want to have our headline. Actually, we're on 6B.
B.
Formal interviews.
How do I find who's that on?
38.
All right. Let's give me that page number.
37.
Yeah. A little more used to what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Okay. Formal interview.
Wow.
Is there a different? Heading for interview versus normal hearing. Yep, right there. Never mind. I got it.
Thank you.
It is now.
Ask if you see it.
No. Six B, formal interview. Robert Boyler is present. It is now 10:04 AM on the 29th of April, 2019. This is a formal interview regarding Robert Boyle, case number 19-130. Will the licensee come or attorney? You have come forward. Are you presented by an attorney today?
Not today, no.
Okay. Please state your name.
Robert Andrew Boyle.
Okay. The other one. My name is Earl Dusky, Chair of the Board and Professional Board Member. The other board members will now introduce themselves and indicate whether they are a consumer or professional board member.
Emily Clark, Professional Board Member.
Bill Beard, Public.
Victoria Bowman, Professional Member.
John Ortega, Public Member.
Earl Dusky, Professional Member. You have received a letter informing you of the matters of the discussion today, the process for the formal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. The purpose of this formal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances on this case and decide the outcome. We will hear a brief summary of the case and then interview you. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during the interview, you may ask them through me. If you choose not to participate in this formal interview, a formal hearing may be requested at this time. This proceeding is being recorded to provide a record to the court reporter. Please swear the license. Oh, do I do that or just?
Anyone, I mean, staff can. You can.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please give us a summary of the case.
That would be typically we would have Andrew.
Andrew, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I really did get a good night's sleep last night.
Okay. Andrew, can you turn your microphone off? Make sure you turn your microphone.
Make sure that the massage envy is here, too.
Well, they don't need to be here, but you can inquire this, too. Really, just a discussion.
I'm early part of December, I received a complaint for improper touching of genitals against an individual's body on two different occasions and sexual assault during the massage session. And also a police report filed with Chandler Police Department. If it's there.
You wish to make a statement?
As I said back in February, happened around 2014, 2015. It was a couples session in the couples room. As I said in my letter, that the woman was morbidly obese. I was very concerned about protecting her modesty with draping. I was totally focused on the draping. If the lotion bottle touched her, then I'm sorry that happened, but it was a lotion bottle that would have touched her area. So, I bought a lotion bottle with me here. I have it attached to this holster here. So, if I'm on the left side here, then this would have. I'll just put it on here to show you. Then putting this on my left side, I used to carry it loose. I've learned from that experience that that's not what you do, and then it would be attached to my right, always on my right side here.
John Ortega, so you're saying there were other people in the room at the time of this?
And the incident in 2014, 15, I forget the actual time, that there was another therapist in the room.
Thank you.
Victoria Bowman, did you do a second massage a week later? On this lady?
The obese person, I did not know.
Do we, can I ask the Massage Envy's there now? Is the staff from Massage Envy here in representative system?
They would only come from subpoena. Didn't have the funds. I was going to borrow funds to get an attorney, and I was unable to achieve that.
And it's not Mr. Boyle's. If he wanted to bring a witness, but it wasn't his responsibility to bring them or anything.
Just for a point of clarity, the gentleman is stating 2015,
yeah.
The information I'm reading says 2018. Am I missing something here?
As David reported to Massage Envy.
Okay. All right.
John Ortega.
Okay.
And also, I said back in February that I had an inguinal hernia. I had serious medical conditions. I had the hernia perpetrating, going down into my intestine, so that was extremely painful, to say the least. I bought a statement from a friend of mine who recommended compression underwear. Physically, you can't physically with compression underwear. It's just holding the hernia in place. I didn't have medical insurance, and so I was living with this for a very long time. So
the incident wasn't that long ago. It happened in 2017. I don't know what day he's using, but if you take a look at these,
so. 2017, because this record here says 2015.
Which record are you referring to? What page?
I'm on page 46. Well, that's his
response.
That's his response.
Yeah.
This is a police report?
That's a soap note.
Soap notes.
At the time at Massage Envy, no, I was told nothing. If this had happened, there was nothing there. The manager had given me a written warning from secondary contact, as in the lotion bottle, that if there had been another incident, I would have been terminated immediately. So
it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, almost 2 years ago. Can we talk about it or at this point?
Yeah, unless you had more questions or anything.
I have one concern that the complainant is complaining that there was touch, but yet she still came back and received another massage from me. So she was so concerned.
I'm still trying to make sense of these dates, because
the dates aren't checking.
It's not clear here. And then I'm hearing from you, Mr. Boyle, that you saw it's your contention that you've only seen this woman once?
I'm talking about the obese woman that came in with her husband that complained to Massage Envy that there was secondary touch contact with the...
That is not related to this complaint. That's your contention?
Well, that's all that I have only been told from Massage Envy. As I said, in July of 2017, I received a written warning about secondary contact. If it had happened again, Massage Envy would have terminated my employment immediately.
I think what the confusion is that we received a complaint in 2018.
Right.
The two occasions are the two times that his area touched her arm. on two occasions doing that massage.
That was 1 week apart,
yes.
The two instances.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this occurred back in April?
Of 2018.
Okay. And it took
April 30th.
Because the way I remember reading it was, it wasn't the... Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the way I remember reading it from the complaint was, she came back for a second massage and then it happened again.
But he says he...
No, that's not right.
He says he didn't massage her.
But I'm just saying that's in her complaint.
Yes, it is. I read that too.
Right.
So we've got inconsistency between...
Got a lot of
inconsistency.
Plus this is a week apart. There's two different sessions a week apart.
April 30th and
5/6.
Right.
So according to your SOAP notes, she came twice. You don't remember that?
My knowledge with the complaint was that massage envy, and it related to this morbidly obese woman. I have no recognition of that particular client.
Well, you remember her enough to know what her body style was, so
right.
I find this hard to believe.
What's that?
You remember her well enough to know what size her body was, so I obviously remember her.
No, I'm talking about the woman that was obese, and I said that was in 2015.
What are you talking about, 2015?
That's what he keeps saying.
Yeah, he keeps saying 2015. What does it have to do?
That's what I did in my letter there. I said the incident happened in there, and then you're saying it happened at another date.
So you say 2017 isn't correct?
Yeah.
When was the police report written?
It may. I'm not sure. So.
Thank you.
No. Michael.
Well. Victoria Bowman, I think, well, what we know is that if there's a complaint by a client, massage envy immediately terminates, whether or not it is valid. I certainly understand the oil bottle. It further bothers me that the client on the table didn't do anything. He wasn't, according to these papers, one happened in April, 1 week later in May, and they didn't give a verbal warning until July 17th, or July, which is 2 months later. I move to dismiss the case.
She's here.
She's here?
Yeah.
I understand at least counsel for DW.
Okay.
She's present as well.
Didn't we ask for them to come forward?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, it might not have been. Well, they're here, so.
Okay.
Okay.
They never did ask for the complaint to come forward. They just asked for him to come forward.
So if you would like.
Okay, so I will withdraw my motion. In light of the fact we have people here.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Robert Pastor, P as in Paul, A-S-T-O-R. I'm an attorney here in Phoenix. I have spent the better part of my career representing victims of sexual assault, sexual violence, as a prosecutor, and now in private practice. And I'm here today with Barbara West, who has come here because she wants to make sure that this doesn't happen to other women. She's prepared to give you her comments. She's prepared to tell you exactly what happened and to clarify for you some of the questions that you've asked here this morning. Mr. Ortega, you pointed out correctly that his memory is somewhat false or somewhat conflated, but yet he had enough sense to say, oh yeah, it was my lotion bottle and not my erect penis. So with those preliminary statements, Ms. West is going to go ahead and tell you what happened on those 2 days, and she is going to address specifically your question about there being two incidents, and why would she go back? And if you'd like, I'd also be happy to share with you happens when women are sexually assaulted. Thank you.
Sir, do I have to swear both of them in or just her?
Well, I don't understand that he's going to be providing
testimony.
So he wouldn't need to be sworn in, just BW.
I'm sorry?
Only BW.
Yeah.
Not her attorney.
So would you like to raise your right hand? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
You do. So do you want me just to start? So this was not a couple's massage. This was a massage.
A point of clarification. I believe for the record we refer to you as BW rather than your full name.
Yes, please. And it happened in May, at the end of May 2017, and in June 2017, when I initially filed the police report, which was a year later, I wasn't exactly sure of the dates, and I had even called Massage Envy. Once I told them who was calling, they wouldn't give me any of that information. So I was able to go back to my HSA account and pull that up, because my primary care physician, due to my back condition, had recommended that I have massages. So this happened, as I said, in May and June in 2017. I also would like you all to know that I am a nurse and I'm a professional and I take care of patients. I'm not doing clinical bedside nursing now, but I know what my boundaries are and I know why I became a nurse. I waited a year. I didn't do anything for a year about this. And it wasn't until I told my daughter and my son, and they said, Mom, you have to do something about it. I wasn't sleeping. I couldn't go back to get a massage, which I desperately needed, whether it be at Massage Envy or somebody else. I just didn't want to encounter what I had encountered. So I decided on, it was May 16th, 2018, I looked at the Chandler Police website, and they had a program called the Victims Assistance Program. And I called and I talked to a gal by the name of Lacey, and she was wonderful. And, you know, I told her, I said, this happened over a year ago. And by the way, the second time it happened, I cut the massage short and I left. I went to the parking lot and I called and I asked to talk to whoever was in charge. At the time, there wasn't a manager there. There was somebody by the name of Fee, F-E-E, and she told me she was the front office supervisor, I believe. I told her what happened. All she did was apologize and said that she would have Allison, I was never given a last name, who was the manager, call me back. Allison did call me back. It was not that day. I believe, and my massages, because I do work full-time, my massages 99% of the time took place on a Saturday. So I think Allison called me like that Monday or Tuesday. I told her what had happened, and all she said is, I'll talk to him, and I'll call you back. She never called me back, and I never heard from Massage Envy ever again until the COO called me. I can't even tell you when that was. Just she wanted me to recap what had happened. So you asked, why did I go back a second time? I went back a second time because I wanted to truly believe he was a professional and that what I felt, I don't want to say I imagined it, but did it really happen? Why would he do that to me? He was supposed to be taking care of me. And I have a horrific back. I had so many back problems. And I didn't go back 2 weeks later. I went back a month later because, number one, I desperately needed a massage. And I thought, let's give this guy a chance. He's supposed to be a professional. He's supposed to take care of his patients. And it happened again. And what happened, I was laying face down. He raised me up. And both times, he rubbed. And I can't tell you at what point of the massage it took place, but he rubbed his erect penis from about my elbow down to my wrist area on the right side of my... It was both times was this side of my body. And like I said, the first time I thought, did that really happen? Why would he do that to me? And when I went back the second time, I basically said, we're done. And I left.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Again, I just want to clarify, his dates are completely wrong. I've never had a couples massage in my entire life. So...
Just a couple of points.
Her dates are wrong, too, according to these soap notes. Right.
Yeah, so it was. And when I talked to Mr. White, I told him, and I think it when I even talked to the, when I filed the police report, I told them I'm not 100% sure, and the only way I could determine, and like I said, Massage Envy wouldn't give me any information, was I pulled my HSA account up and looked at the dates then, and that was how I was able to ascertain what the dates were. And I never went back again.
So her dates are very different than yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if your HSA account shows, and you had a membership, right?
I did.
Okay,
I did.
So membership would come out on a certain date every single month. Okay, it's not paid for. I don't believe it's paid for at the time of your service. It's paid for on a monthly basis.
Yeah, you mean my membership through Massage Envy?
Yes, but
yeah.
Based on these soap notes, this was done the 30th of April and the
that's
6th
not
of
right.
May.
No, that's
they
not.
Had, these are electronically done at Massage Envy.
Yeah, no.
They go into a computer at the time of the service.
Right. So my... I had a massage on May 6th, but I didn't have the incident that I had. And then May 31st, but the one thing I want to add to that, May 31st and then June 30th. I don't know if this is showing day of service or the day it was paid.
That's probably the day it was paid based on the HSA.
Right, and I called them. It's called Payflex. I called them last week. They said they couldn't tell me, which I have a hard time believing, and I may try calling back again. But, I mean, that's what their records, and I was able to print off from their website.
Yeah, there's a lot of cases.
I think Massage Envy, should be able to tell us what that date of service was.
Yeah, that's what these are. These are the soap notes, and that's what the massage therapist fill in at the time that they do a service with a client.
Okay.
Okay, so these automatically go into the computer the day of the service.
And what dates are those, did you say?
April 30th, which is a Sunday, and May 6th, which is a Saturday.
April 30th and May what?
May 6th. This is Saturday.
There's a note, but there's
they would
another
have to
one.
Have pulled these in order to give them to Mr. White.
I've got 2 points, mainly for clarification, and I just want to be clear on what you stated. It's nothing more complicated than that. The second time you went back, as you said, to verify, you did seek this specific individual out on the second.
I did.
Okay, so you requested him.
Well, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Okay, and again, further clarify, you left the second massage early.
I did.
Did you say anything to anybody at massage at the time?
Not until I went to my car. I sat in the parking lot. I was shaking, and to be honest, there were other people in the lobby, so I was a little, I was embarrassed. I guess is another good way to put it. So I sat in my car and I called, and that's when I asked for the manager, and that's when all they said was, well, Fee, who was the front office supervisor, took down my information. She apologized and then said the manager, Allison, would call me.
May I speak? So I just want to clarify that the incident happened, was somebody else in 2015. I've just realized that now. I've been going since I got the report back in December it was this other couple. I got back in July of 2017. I remember it was a Friday. It was my day off from Massage Envy. I got the manager asked me to come in and give her a practical massage of a allegation. And I did that. I got a written warning then back on that particular date in 2017. If it had been something more serious, Massage Envy would have fired me on the spot. So there was no communication from Massage Envy that there was an issue. So.
Well, this needs to listen to an interview, not a
hearing, not an interview.
Oh.
This is an interview. So,
formally.
This is a can.
Judge today, too, yeah, right?
You can,
we just can't.
Yeah, this
we
is a formal interview, but you can't revoke or suspend beyond 1 year.
Hear this all again.
No, we should do it now.
It just won't be a...
Part of my problem is that the dates, there's conflicting information about dates, and even when you try and sort it out, there seems to still be inconsistencies between when the dates are alleged to have happened. And as much as I hate to say it, the reality is, even though it may be a he said, she said situation, we've got to have something that we can hang our hat on, and that is some facts. And if the dates don't line up, I'm having a hard time with that.
I have a hard time with the dates in the sense that it was 2 years ago still. And I don't, the other professional members here, do you remember everybody, you know, unless they're
unless it really
real
stands out for something really specific.
People come
specific.
In for a first and second time, I see people on the street, hi, Earl. You know, it's like,
dear the headlights.
I meet you, you know, I do. So it's like, you know, and then it takes a while. It takes a while before you remember. They're face down 50% of the time, so.
So they should approach you backwards.
Well, I know what the rhomboids look like, but things like that. and honestly, that's what you remember. You remember qualities about a person.
Obviously, he doesn't remember. He was describing a different woman. He was describing a different incident.
Well, yeah, he's definitely had it fairly clear cut. He had somebody else in mind from the very beginning, you know. And so now with this, so can I ask a question? Now that you do recall, what do you remember?
I recall very little other than with the statement here that I had an inguinal hernia. I was wearing compression underwear. I did not have insurance. I was doing it. I felt pretty disgusting, pretty health-wise, considerable amount of pain. All my focus at that point was just to get through the day. So, and that was pretty much through the beginning of 2000 or the end of 2016, right up till I had emergency surgery in March of 2018.
So, that me. There is a form of substandard care. You know,
right.
Just getting by. You know, people do what they have to do, but at the same time.
I think for me, one of the challenges is that we're all trying to go to electronic records.
Mm-hmm.
And then how does the massage therapist keep their own notes? And they're working at a place where trying to get, in other words, we had to requisition the notes. Is that correct, Mr. White? And that's the only way that we could get them. And so he couldn't get them. It's saving paper and causing confusion.
And notes are only as good as the people input, like the second one where she said she checked in, the check-in, check-out is blank.
It's blank.
Mm-hmm. Right. Did they leave it blank because they didn't do a check-in?
Right.
Plus, or because she didn't check out quickly.
Plus, I have some issues with her testimony, and it differs from her summary of allegations based on the Chandler Police Department detective. There's a little discrepancy in that. So, you know.
May we ask what that discrepancy is?
I'm sorry?
Can we ask what that discrepancy is?
Basically, you said your massages were a month apart. Okay.
Oh, not necessarily.
Well,
it just depended on how I felt. There were other people every 2 weeks or a month apart.
Sure, and I understand that. But based on the summary of allegations from the police department, it basically says that you felt what you thought was an erection. He's already testified that he carries his bottle, lotion bottle, on his hip. Most all massage therapists do, okay? And sometimes we can move it from the left to the right, okay? There are many times when that can butt up against somebody's arm without any intention of it happening. It just happens. But it's like what you thought may have been, because a lotion bottle is hard, okay? And it doesn't, it's not nice and soft, or it wouldn't hold the lotion. So I have some discrepancies and concern with the testimony and what was stated here and the evidence that we have here written.
I'd like to say something.
Sure.
I was married over 21 years and I had 4 children. I know what an erection feels like. I'm also a nurse. I have inserted a catheter into males many times. I know when they're flaccid. I know when they're erect. Both times, I felt an erection rubbed against my arm.
So, a question.
Yes, sir.
Given that, though, given his state, he agrees, I was just trying to get through the day. So, I'm getting that he was being a little on the sloppy side. That's probably a bad word, but he wasn't being the best massage therapist. He's just trying to get through the day. Do you feel it was sexually intention, or do you feel it was just sloppy work?
I think it was sexual intention.
I mean, was there any I don't hear, excuse me just
sure.
a second, I don't hear any other complaints about how are you, anything about your marriage, anything about, I don't, that's what normally goes with sexual intention. There's usually comments, there's usually other things that do it. All I hear is just that one thing that was pressed up against you, and I see that you want to talk. Hold on just a second. That I'm not hearing, I didn't hear anything else where he was flirting with you, where he was making anything else with you. How am I not to know that it just wasn't sloppy work? I'm not saying that that's right either. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's right.
So,
in fact, I'm quite.
A couple things I just would like to add is, as a nurse, you can typically tell when somebody is in discomfort or pain. And he never communicated any of that. So if he was that uncomfortable, number one, why was he working? Secondly, I am very quiet by nature, and because of the pain that I have, I typically would just try to go and relax. I would say hello. We didn't communicate. There was really no communication. That's not my nature. I don't know him. I just wanted him to give me the massage to make me feel better. That was why I went. I needed it desperately. But again, I know what I felt.
And I went back the second time because I tried to believe he was a professional and that didn't happen. I wanted to give him another chance. When it happened the second time, I was done. I knew what it was, which is why I left. And I have not been able to have a massage since that time, whether it's at Massage Envy or any other place. And all I want is him not to be able to do massages anymore. I don't want my daughter, my female colleagues, or anybody to have to go through what I went through.
Are you done?
I am.
Do you have something you wanted to say real quick?
Yes, sir. Thank you. And with all due respect, Mr. Chair, sexual assault and sexual violence comes in all forms. It is not typical. There's flirting. There's this. There's that. The random boob grab at a restaurant or at a bar or a butt grab, pinning a woman against the wall and shoving your fingers down her pants. Sometimes there is no anticipatory relationship between victim and assailant. And so I would ask you not to take the stereotypes of what we think sexual assault is as you evaluate the circumstances here today. I understand, I heard Mr. Ortega comment, that the first job of this board is to protect the public, and I venture to guess that the second job is to maintain the integrity of this profession. And this woman is here today asking you to do both of those things. I want to point out three things to you that I heard during this proceeding, if I may. The gentleman commented that in 2015 he was with an obese woman during a couples massage, and apparently from his testimony there was some incident there that he received a warning. That's one. He then referred to a 2017 massage where he gave a pectoral massage to a woman on a Friday, and Massage Envy gave him a warning. That's two. Now we have this woman coming forward with the rubbing of an erect penis along her arm. I know you are here today only hearing evidence on an erect penis rubbing against her arm, but the testimony you now have before you is a gentleman who has been warned three times by his employer about inappropriate, substandard conduct. If this board is going to live up to its obligations to first protect the public and to two, maintain the professionalism of this profession, then the only logical conclusion is to come to a decision to say, thank you, sir, but you may no longer provide therapy treatment to innocent people who put their trust in you. We would ask you to do that. Thank you.
May I speak, please?
No, I have a question for you first. John Ortega, talking about your medical condition, were you insinuating that you were not able to get an erection?
Exactly.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like to point out here, with compression underwear, you're pretty much strapped against your body there, so there is absolutely no physical way that I would have been able to do that. And secondly, I'm unaware of any incident of working the pectoral muscle on a female. I received nothing from Massage Envy for that, so I'm totally unaware of that. I don't know if that's been made up, if someone could show me that. I've received no verbal warning of any pictorial work.
Thank you.
Do you have one more thing?
Yeah. The original complaint that came into the board, a woman, Tiffany Harris, is she a friend? Is she an attorney? I'm just... Okay, so you made the complaint to Massage Envy, and Massage Envy filed the complaint with the board. Is that my understanding?
No, I don't think that's right. I was told that Chandler Police reached out to Ms. Harris. And then because the detective that I was dealing with at Chandler said, you know, he had an obligation to let her know, and that would I be okay in talking with her. I'm sorry? Yeah, Kira. Correct, Brandy.
I'm just curious why you did not seek to file the complaint yourself.
Which complaint?
With this agency.
I didn't know I was supposed to. I talked. Well, let me backtrack. I thought by complaining or letting them know what transpired, they would handle and do what they needed to do. They knew. They knew the day of the second time I experienced it. They knew. When I, and like I said, I didn't even reach out for a good year. And it was when I talked to Lacey, who said, Barb, you have to file a police report. And I did that, and then it was turned over to the Sexual Crimes Division, and I talked to a sexual abuse detective. I had a couple different meetings with him. He was the one that let Massage Envy, the COO, know. And he said, are you okay with talking to her? And I said, I'm okay with talking to her. I don't have anything to hide. I'm just going to be honest. I just don't want this guy doing massages anymore.
Thank you. Questions? Okay, so I'm going to close it off for discussion now. Greenhouse. Okay. Unless you guys have more questions for them.
My immediate thought is I mean, so I'm throwing out things there too, is that he really wasn't in a place he should have been doing massage if he was where he was and if he was in that much pain. I understand. In order to get an operation, you have to make money. You know, so, you know, he was in what I feel was survival mode. You know, unfortunately, it wasn't working. And so, like you're always saying, you got to protect the public, though. So, and I don't feel his best interest was in, he was in survival mode, not in taking care of what needed to be taken care of.
Right.
So, there's too much conflict with the water bottle and or the lotion bottle and that.
Dates.
So, where do we want to settle in?
Well, and I also know that, you know, nurses have a regulatory board as well, and one can file a complaint. So, you know, that's, you know, it's like, for me, the time lapse is bothersome. I do agree it was substandard care.
Punishment. Well, and here's my problem. Accepting at face value everything we've heard here today, I go back to what I said earlier. As a board commissioned to, you know, first look out for the safety of the public, you start with the idea that if something legitimately happened, there are some facts to back it up. What I'm hearing is there's confusion on the part of the licensee. There's some confusion on the part of the person making the complaint. I think regardless of what the circumstances between those two, Massage Envy needs to fix its internal housekeeping. This is really bothersome. Setting that aside, the fundamental problem is if you can't hang your hat on some dates and have some, you know, corroborating information outside of your recollection, what do we have as a basis for this board to proceed to make any kind of punishment? I know it's, I truly believe that something sloppy happened on the case of the licensee, and I truly believe that something happened with the person making the complaint. But that's not, you know, we're not mind readers up here. We have to have something that we're basing what we do in some kind of some objective reality. And I'm not, based on what I'm seeing on this computer screen here, there's too many inconsistencies for me to hang my hat on something.
And my only thing is substandard care.
I agree with that too.
Yeah. So I believe there needs to be. Based on everything that I have heard, I know something happened. I believe that BW believes there's something happened. And I'm not saying that something didn't happen based on what she's told us.
Substandard care?
Yes, of course. And I agree with what you said. He was in a bad place, not feeling very well, and maybe he shouldn't have been massaging at that point, but you have to earn money in order to have some surgery. I don't believe that there was any sexual intent on his part to do anything wrong. So I think it all boils down to just substandard care on his part.
I agree with that.
So you're suggesting that disciplinary action based on failure to meet or maintain the requirements for original licensee?
No,
not that one. It's close to that one, though. One it is. I just gotta. Number 14, engaging in a performance of some standard care by a massage therapist due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether actual injury to the personal care or was established.
Mr. Chair, sometimes we'll use 8-10, engaging in conduct that could result in harm or injury.
Yes. Okay, it could be both of those.
Practice.
Could be both of those, yeah.
I would lean more toward both.
Yeah.
And you also have, just to assist you as you make your decision, you can do anything after a formal interview except suspend for longer than 12 months or revoke. So you have, you know, continuing education, probation,
fines.
You have things that are just non-disciplinary in that regard. You have non-disciplinary continuing education you can do, or you can make it disciplinary in nature. For only the, you know, if you want to impose a disciplinary sanction, you would establish the statutory basis. And I think we have that now. If you choose a disciplinary route, we could write up the order. But I just want to remind you that you have a variety of options.
And Mr. White, how long is the other license?
The 2012.
Graduate
2012 gave you the right to
Well, he just has been practicing law.
6 years.
No. Yeah, I'm really not that long.
And are there any other records on file with this licensee?
No.
No. I remember two of the incidents. About one. Not three.
Yeah. I think so.
I'm not even hearing breaking, but I'm hearing, you know.
I think A16 complaint failure to adhere to recognized standards and ethics.
So A 8, 10, and 16.
No. Yeah. 10, 14, 16.
Oh, I was referring to the.
Hey, I'm on page 44, guys.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at A 16.
You're on page
44.
I'm looking in natural.
Okay.
You'll notice of receipt of complaint.
32-4253, is that where you're looking at? The by standard?
No, I'm looking on
the screen. Here.
Yeah, 32-4253.
Right. A 1.
No, it's 8. 10 and 16.
I'm not sure if you're right, because I don't think it was gross.
I think it's 10 and 16. 8, 10, and 16.
10. Yep, I would agree. So 8, 10, and 16.
Okay, yeah. So we have something to hang our hats on.
Does the board want to decide whether you think disciplinary or non-disciplinary is an initial step?
I'm going for disciplinary. But I'm just going to go for okay.
Probation?
You would need a term of probation for the continuing education. You could provide for early termination, but that's the framework under which you'd complete the continuing education.
When is his renewal up?
What do you guys think
of
non-disciplinary?
So this year.
That's all about 3 months.
Right.
No, it's not very long.
Disciplinary discipline.
I don't know. If part of the order was for him to refund her money and pay a $100 fine, does that make it disciplinary?
Yeah. The only sort of action you can take, I mean, you can issue a decree or the letter type reprimands, but if you're going to have him do anything beyond that, beyond you just issuing a letter,
yeah,
you can do non-disciplinary continuing education or issue a letter or any sort of other things would be good.
Okay. So you're leaning towards the refund?
Refund and a $100 fine.
So a refund and a penalty?
$100 fine.
But CEs too?
I don't really care about this.
I think the CEs are necessary.
And how many?
Well, I got 3 months. Got to renew.
Yeah. That's why. But the probationary period can carry over past renewal, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'd say 6 months and 16 hours. That's plenty of time.
Give him 6 months to do it?
Yeah. That way he's still on probation and he's still within that renewal period of time.
Right.
Frame. That if his license expires, he's still within that renewal period to get the CEUs. The sooner he gets them, the better off he's going to be able to present to the board and, or to staff.
And what areas do you want the CEs in? Ethics?
Ethics.
Communication. Business practices?
Business practices, yeah.
Yep.
Or anything that covers all three.
And Board Member Clark, are you intending that as a separate motion or as a friendly amendment to Ortega's opening?
I haven't heard her form the motion yet. So.
I haven't heard her form the motion. No, we're still discussing.
Yeah, so, but there's no motion on this.
We're looking at 16 hours. Do we feel that the $100 fine?
I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that.
For so.
Okay. Who refunds? Massage envy or the pay?
Only
licensee.
The licensee is under.
Okay, gotcha.
Jurisdiction.
Then I have no problem with the refund of two sessions, the $100 fine and the 16 hours of CEs.
Probation for 6 months.
Probation for 6 months.
And what are the CEs in?
Ethics.
Communication.
Communication and business practices.
I second that.
We've already got this.
Well,
I haven't made a motion yet.
Okay. Well, would you be okay with early termination at the time he completes his continuing education, or do you want the full? Would you want the full 6 months to elapse before his probation ended?
Let's go.
So he could go run and do the 16 hours right away. Excuse me,
mm-hmm.
And come back to you and say I'm done, and you'd be releasing him in a week,
yeah.
Or as soon as he could complete them, or alternatively...
As soon as he can complete them within the 6 months.
And then the time for the, similar for the $100 civil penalty and the restitution within the 6 months, or is he can come back and apply for early termination if he completes it earlier.
Yeah.
If it might help, maybe I'll just recap everything I think we have for the motion.
Go for it.
And then someone could just say, so much,
okay.
It's worth it. So this would be for a disciplinary order, including 6 months probation, and the terms of probation are the completion of 16 hours of continuing education and ethics, communication, and business practices. Those are in addition to his usual
mm-hmm.
education
okay.
hours. Those are always, unless you say otherwise, board staff pre-approved in a live in-person setting. $100 civil penalty and the payment of restitution to cover the cost of two sessions through Massage Envy, we would inquire with the complainant to try and determine the appropriate number. Sometimes that can be hard with memberships, but do your best to prorate it. The opportunity for early termination if those probationary requirements are completed before 6 months. The alleged violations would be under, I think we said 10, 14, and 16.
No. 10 and 16.
10 and 16.
10 and 16. I think that was good.
So moved.
Emily Clark, second.
this would need to be a roll call.
Emily Clark, yes. Bill Beard, aye.
Victoria Bowman, aye.
John Ortega, yes.
Bill Desky, yes. So moved. Let me find my script. Hold on. The board voted to, and let's state that, you will receive the necessary documents in the mail. If you have any questions, please call the board staff or the board office. This concludes our formal interview.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take a break.
Yeah. We are going to take about a...
Back on.
Let's get moving again. Let me turn my phone off again so I make sure it
doesn't ring. Everybody wants me.
Yes.
Messages. Okay. We are resuming at 6C. Investigation files. Board of review, discussions of possible action for investigation files. Filing number 19-150, Carl Mitchell.
And that's going to be presentation from 19-150 to Carl Mitchell.
Yes, President.
Proper briefing, second law commission, and so this
Carl, would you like to give us a quick second?
Good morning. Good morning to you guys. Good morning.
Carl, would you like to give us a brief overview of what?
So, refer to my statement that I presented to you guys on March 7th of this year, approximately 3 to 4.
Excuse me, could you speak up a little bit into the microphone a little bit?
Sorry. On March 7th of this year, I had a client that I had massaged from 3 to 4 for an hour. And in doing so, it was the first time I've ever worked on this client, client. She checked in to the clinic that I worked at that day, 16th and Camelback at Massage Envy. At the point in time of the appointment, I proceeded to introduce myself and escort her back to the massage room. Reviewed soap notes, previous therapist. I believe she's had three or four other prior massages, but nothing to, you know, kind of week after week or every 2 weeks or anything like that. It was about 3 to 4 months in between massages. So, and it was always at a Massage Envy, but it wasn't, I believe this is the first time she's ever had one at this particular clinic. So she from her history, she always had a different therapist. So I reviewed that, brought her in the room, closed the door. I asked her, how are you feeling today? She responded with, I have some tension areas in my upper back, neck area. Basically, you know, on the iPads, it has, you know, it gives you a little person with areas, you know, that are, you know, kind of, she never really noted anything on there, but I put in my soap notes that, you know, focus on neck, back, and shoulder areas were, and I think probably the legs, she said that her legs were bothersome. So, so I asked her to, because she's been to Massage Envy before, so I didn't really feel like had to explain the whole process of disrobing, but I just said, you know, just, you know, get undressed to your comfort level. You'll be in between the two sheets and a blanket, but I didn't, like, you know, usually with a new client that's new to massaging me or somebody that's never had a massage, I usually, you know, put my hand under the sheet and blanket on the table, massage table. So I didn't do that in this particular instance. She did, however, say that she needed a press pillow, so I went and got that, came back, put that on the table. So I I told her I'm going to start you face down. If there's any time, at any point in time, the massage, you know, the pressure's not enough or too much, just speak up and say something. And that if there's anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, just let me know so I can adjust. So I told her I'm going to leave the room, let you get on the table, and I'll see you in a couple minutes. So I, you know, went to wash my hands, and then came back to the room, knocked on the door. Are you okay? You ready? She said yes. So she was face down most of the time during the massage. I started with her legs. When I drape, I didn't exactly tell her how I was going to drape, but I usually just, you know, on the inside of the leg, right about here. So right about here on the inside of the leg, and out here is where I drape the leg. But she was face down. So I worked on her legs, and then proceeded to the glute area, which there was nothing in the soap notes that would indicate that she was not okay with having the glutes worked. I worked the glutes, the sheet and blanket with everybody. She seemed like she was a little... the pressure I was giving her was a little too much. So I backed up a little bit. I asked her, is this okay? And she was like, yes. And so, and then I went from that to massaging her back. I worked on the back for primarily the most of the time. As I stated in my letter, that she had moved the drape on her back up towards her neck, but it wasn't the drape initially, you know, where I had the drape. If my belt is where I had the drape, you know, from here, she pulled it north towards her neck. That's basically, she didn't pull it very much. She just kind of pulled it. So I figured that she was, you know, kind of chilly. I didn't ask or didn't say anything. I guess in retrospect, I should have asked her how she was feeling since she did that. I just failed to not do that. So I finished with her back. You know, draped her, had her, and did the tucking and, you know, held the sheet up. She flipped over. And every time that I have somebody, regardless of who it is, I always turn my head and close my eyes. So she flipped over, put the sheet and blanket back over her. I took the breast pillow from her back, and then she laid back down. She had her arms kind of like in this position to hold the sheet and the blanket really tight here, so I didn't mess with her pecs at all. I didn't feel like that was appropriate to even mess with her pecs or anything like that. I did massage her arms too, when she was face down, arms and hands. And then as I was working the neck, you know, it just seemed like it was a little bit too much pressure, and she's kind of noted that it was a little too much, so I backed off and then just finished the massage and, you know, told her to come out when she's ready. I'll be waiting with a cup of water for her. So, and that was it for the massage. I went and washed my hands and arms. I got her a cup of water. She comes out of the room, and I asked her, how is she feeling? Because that's a typical question you ask massage client. And she responded with a little more sore than she thought. And, you know, basically I told her, drink plenty of water, do an Epsom salt soak. Make sure that you drink every couple hours to flush the toxins out. And, you know, I didn't really make a recommendation for her to see a different therapist at that point. However, from the body work and just the initial complaint and all that's transpired since then, I would say that she was probably a person that needed a lighter touch and that needed to be with a female, because I feel like that this complaint kind of proceeded for that outside of, you know, what has transpired here. That's all I have to say.
Questions from the board? I have a couple. One is, how close do you get when you work with the legs? Or how do you approach the inner thigh in a safe way?
I usually do like hand over hand, and I don't use my forearm at all. I usually like hand over hand, you know. So,
first complaint is mostly about the glutes and the legs.
Yes.
I didn't hear you address that a whole lot. Basically, in a review, what happened?
I basically just when I drape the leg with her specifically, I usually like do it accordion style on the leg, pull it up about the knee, and then I take the inner part and tuck it about middle ways between the knee and the glute attachment, or the top of the, you know, nothing further than that. But I try to make it really tight, because I don't want people thinking that there's any discrepancy, that there's looseness there. And then I take the other part, the other side, and I tuck it into the side where the hip is at, on the side where the TFL is at.
So you work the glutes over the sheet?
Through the sheet and blanket, sir.
Through the sheets and blanket.
I use that as my comfort zone. I don't mess around in this day and age. There's no fine line. There's no, you know, way to, you know, unless the person specifically asks for glute work, then I make accommodations to usually, you know, I hold the sheet as I'm working with the other hand, just to make sure that I maintain a safe barrier and the person knows that the drape is as tight as can be.
What's massage envy drills on glutes?
They have an informed consent policy, and I didn't get informed consent is one of the policies that they said that I violated. I just failed to do that. I'm sorry.
Is it a verbal consent or a written consent?
It's either a verbal. On the iPads, it gives you a place to say whether, you know. And I try to make sure that every time I massage somebody, I say, look, you know, this iPad that I have here, and we used to have paper, so I've changed, you know, from paper to iPad. And I said, you know, any point in time during massage, or any massage specifically at any point in time, you can say whether or not you want these areas, you know, all the areas that are the pecs, the glutes, the feet, and the head are all areas that are, you know, you're supposed to get informed consent. I just didn't. So
I have a housekeeping question.
Okay.
Does the person do that, or can you do that, and can you add notes, and who has control over the iPad?
The person that comes in, the client, they typically have, and this is the thing, is a lot of the massage MEs are not on the same page, from my understanding. I've worked at multiple locations, and they're all kind of, they have this vanilla idea, but not everybody is, you know, when you come in, you're supposed to have this, you know, they check you in, this, that, and the other, and they give you an iPad, or if the iPads are down, they give you a paper, basically what we used to use. And you can go in and just check what areas you want. You can check the desired pressure, what you're looking for during a session. That's all, you know, the client has that ability to make those changes. So, but not every, I don't think that every clinic is, you know, the same, just like all of us therapists are, you know, could say the same thing, but different, in a different way, so to speak.
And can you add notes to it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
As needed.
Just a point of clarification in your statement, your written statement in response to the complaint. You've been suspended from massage MD, but not terminated, correct?
At this point in time, I was terminated because the owners that I was working for, they sold the business, and the new ownership decided not to hire me on.
We don't have her. Apologize, mine wasn't on. Thank you. We don't have her feedback at this point. We just have her.
Mm-hmm.
We have a state. Rub the glutes. He admits that he probably shouldn't have done that without the informed consent.
She uses the word aggressive twice in her description of his technique.
Right. So, do we feel like was there any sexual intent there, or is it just that he's aggressive?
He's
just trying to get in there, and he's getting aggressive about it.
That's what I would think.
I mean,
John Ortega.
Well, I looked at the comment that was made that when she said stopping to tuck the sheet under my thigh only about 4 inches from my vagina. Well, you know, everything's kind of down there tight. At 4 inches is quite a distance, considering, you know. And so, you know, I'm looking at, I'd like to ask you this, Mr. Mitchell. Do you feel you followed the massage NV guidelines for draping?
I feel like I did. Okay. The only thing I would just, you know, like from what Mr. Ortega said is I was a little aggressive. That is just something that, you know, I would say that this particular client needs to be with somebody with a lighter touch from that perspective.
She requests deep muscle or?
She, what I found out is that she used the automated system online and booked it. She didn't talk to a representative at the clinic because usually the protocol is this person calls in and... Sorry. It's been a very tough few months.
Take a breath.
So the client's supposed to come in and get a personal one-on-one, and you know the front desk staff is supposed to sit down with them, whether they're, and even if they're a first-time client, then that's the 100% every time. But if they're coming from another clinic, typically they don't run through the whole spiel. So it gives the client a false sense of like, you know, well, this happened at the other clinic, why didn't you do that there? But they don't, you know, it's just something that I've grown to learn about the business. It happens sometimes, and you know, as much as I try to go the extra mile, try to tell people like, hey, this is how I do things, this is, you know, and I try to communicate that. In this particular instance, I didn't do that 100%. I'm not gonna deny that. I don't feel like I did anything out of the ordinary that I would never, you know, it's not, you know, for me, I put clients' needs and wants first, you know, above everything, and I just, you know, I just failed to get informed consent this one time. You know, it's just, it's been a very hard learning experience for me. You know, I've had time to reflect on everything, so, but I just, you know, it's so hard when, thank you, when you have, you know, so many clients that you work on. They can say anything. And you're guilty until proven innocent. And the only thing you can do is just defend yourself. But, you know, it's...
I mean, in perspective, I've had enough time to to reflect on these things. So,
are you known for being a deep tissue therapist?
I am.
Okay.
I'm, you know, typically, like, when I get some money, I start out really with my hands before I do any kind of deep work. And I try to warm the person up, you know, in every part of the body. And, you know, and like I said, this person just didn't, I don't think she doesn't know that she needs a lighter therapist. She just booked it online. There was no, like, communication on my side that, you know, kind of warranted, you know, I should have been more attention to detail in this particular instance. I tend to do that, but I just didn't do it in this time. Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, question for Mr. White. A police report was filed. Any action come of that? It's still actively ongoing, or?
Okay. What's our options, sir?
Well, the main decision you have today is where to send the matter, either the formal interview, formal hearing, or dismissal. Today you can also impose any non-disciplinary resolution that you want. So if it was a letter like a non-disciplinary continuing education or a non-disciplinary letter, or if you were going to proceed to formal interview, which doesn't strike me as a case you need to send to formal hearing, but that's your choice. But if you were going to send a formal interview, you could also offer a consent agreement. If not accepted, proceed to formal interview for any disciplinary options you wanted to do today.
Oh, that's an idea.
Yeah, you can dismiss, send it straight to formal hearing or formal interview, offer any non-disciplinary order, or in connection with sending it to formal interview, you can offer disciplinary remedies, but only by consent.
I like the idea of offering consent.
I would like to make a comment, and that is working on the glutes directly on the skin is not against our board policies or rules. It is perhaps not how Massage Envy does it, but I'm looking and going. I think his work might have been a little too deep. but I'm
comfortable with a non-disciplinary class, even though I don't go to your class, but a non-disciplinary communications class. Because he should have spoken to her first about exactly what she was looking for. Other than that, I don't know if there's anything else.
Question with an ongoing police report. Is that...
That doesn't have... I mean, it may impact some of your decisions, but more from a factual decision. It has no legal...
Right. That's their job.
That's one option.
I think non-disciplinary CEs, if we can do that, I think we'll be fine. For draping.
Sorry.
Draping communication.
I don't even know if it's so much draping as much as it is communication and ethics.
Communication. Yeah.
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 It's more about... This is what I'm going to
making
do.
Making sure
what
they understand
do.
What
yeah.
you're
because
going
Because I don't really
doing.
Feel as draping was out. Where the way she's even describing it, it doesn't feel out of
no.
touch at all.
No, I think the communication would be fine. 8 hours.
I said six. I'll go with eight.
It doesn't say here. You don't need a probation. They're non-disciplinary, but you can put kind of a timeline on it. It's a little different because it's not going to be enforced by a probation or anything, but 6 months to complete.
When's his renewal?
11 weeks.
So he has a year and a half. Okay.
6 months?
Yeah.
6 months is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't need.
Yeah, we need a motion,
and we wouldn't need
finding, I mean, the conclusion of law. Disciplinary.
In lieu of send it to hearing or?
Well, you don't need to have this by consent. You can just order it today and be done.
Oh, okay.
You can just.
And it's not disciplinary. It's not a roll call vote.
Okay. Gotcha.
Emily Clark, I make a motion that we order 8 hours of continuing education credits in communication.
Over and above?
Over and above his normal CEs for renewal.
Bill Beard, second.
Within 6 months?
Yeah, within 6 months.
Clear. Sorry.
Within 6 months.
Bill Beard, second.
This is non-disciplinary orders.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? You'll be informed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
Next. We got that one done. Sure. Matthew Argentino? Okay.
Has he been in jail since this?
Yeah.
Ah.
He got found guilty before the last court judgment was notified the board of his arrest activity. He'll be in jail until internet.
Mr. Chair, maybe if I can make a recommendation, at least based on past matters. It is a felony, but it is a DUI, so a little more serious DUI than the usual one. Among your materials was some of the sentencing documents. I understand he's on 3 years of supervised probation and that the terms of his probation include some substance abuse related components, abstinence from alcohol and drugs, you know, meeting with the government in relation to his supervised probation. He did have 4 months of prison. So in other cases like this, one thing we have done is issue a disciplinary, an offer of a consent agreement for discipline for having been convicted of the felony.
And not reporting it.
And not reporting it. I'll hit in just a second, too. But for the DUI component, to have a probationary term that it matches his criminal probation. If he ends his criminal probation early, come back to the board and ask for early termination. If he goes longer, his board probation would go longer. And so basically, you'd just be mirroring the criminal probation of 3 years for a conviction of a felony and then some additional action for failing to timely report his criminal charges. And just recently we started imposing civil penalty for that.
Yes.
And so when could also do...
When is his probation up?
End of May, you said?
Oh, let me... You can get there first, huh?
Because his license expires 3/18/2020, so his probation would be far past that.
Yep.
So, but probation doesn't mean he can't.
He starts his prison term February 19th for 4 months. That will be going on for
June.
A little longer. But his supervised probation is upon release 3 years.
Okay.
Okay.
So from May to 3 years.
Okay. And what have we been charging as a penalty now for failure? Was it
$100?
$100. And then you could consider in addition on that consent agreement any sort of education or other discipline. You do have a DUI, which can reflect substance abuse stuff. If you wanted to impose your own substance abuse related probationary terms. I only mentioned the criminal things do reference having some of that. He is.
Can we request that his tests, once he gets out, he'll probably have to go through tests for drug testing?
It doesn't indicate that. He'll report to his probation department within 72 hours. Keeps probation department advised of progress towards case plan and goals, compliance with any conditions of probation. I'm trying to find anything relevant here. He has to request permission before leaving the state. He will not consume or possess any substances containing alcohol.
Can we request that the probation officer keep us informed?
They won't do that. No, but what you could do is require him to keep you informed on a quarterly basis, perhaps, as to the status of his probation.
Like that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure, right.
Okay. So we could do that and make that part of his conditions of his probation, or of his probation with us, that he checks in with us on a timely basis. And
that seems logical, because at least as I proposed from past cases similar where we have criminal probation ongoing, is since you're mirroring the criminal probation, it'd be nice to stay informed about its status.
Right.
Any violation of his criminal probation is a violation of your probation. Just to be clear about that, his requirement, one of his probationary requirements, is to remain compliant with his criminal probation.
Right.
So in a nutshell, you would essentially be saying, look, it's a DUI, it's gone through the court, it's a minimum punishment. So we're going to let that play out, we'll keep an eye on it, and you better stay compliant with that. And in addition, $100 civil penalty for failing to timely report, and make sure you get quarterly updates as part of your probation to the board.
And you're suggesting this was a consent agreement?
So that would be, if not accepted, that consent agreement proceed to either formal interview or formal hearing.
Victoria Bowman, I move that.
Yeah, for the formal interview.
What about additional CEUs?
Yes.
Well, he's going to have to do drugs. He's already. What did not happen in a massage establishment.
And I have to be for his compliance time extended past 10 days.
So it's 90 days starting from the time he gets back from jail?
I mean, no, it's not only that much time. Probably 30 days instead of 10 days. But he's going to be out of jail.
He's not practicing as he's in jail, so there's
no period second.
But he's only going to be in there for a short time longer, isn't he?
Effectively, what we'll do with a little window like that is we'll try and reach him as soon as we possibly can to offer him this, and see if he accepts it. If he doesn't accept it, we'll schedule it for a board formal interview at the time he can make it. It's going to be disciplinary, so you'll need a roll call.
I do have a second.
Does anyone need recap of the motion?
No.
Emily Clark, aye. Bill Beard, aye.
Victoria Bowman, aye.
John Ortega, aye.
Carl Dusky, aye. So moved. Okay.
Actually, I'm okay. He gets out on the 7th. I'm okay. I'm going to order Monday.
Do we have a current address on him?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Bless you.
Okay.
I emailed to him.
We're trying to finish that one. Okay. 6C3, case number 19-153, John Pierre Grayson. He's not here?
No.
Okay.
Mr. John Pierre Grayson, professionalism, improper grazing, improper touching, permission, and justifying twice.
The same client.
And, Mr. Chair, since you haven't, is the client here? BJ? Well, he.
You could hear from.
what he could add to this.
It's just initial investigation, so you can decide whether to dismiss, send it to formal interview or formal hearing. Having not heard from the licensee, I'm not sure you could formulate a consent agreement, but
you
could just base it on if the allegations were true and what would you do, or you can just send it to formal interview.
So the father is here? Was he going to speak for...
What could he say, though? He wasn't there.
Right. You're saying...
Well, you have her written complaint.
Okay.
But I would, unless a board member thinks it's appropriate for dismissal at this stage, it would seem to me that you'd probably be headed to formal interview, and so your question could be if you want to try to make a consent agreement. If not accepted, go to formal interview. Which you may not be able to do because...
I think this is...
Or you may want to formal go interview. Straight to formal hearing. It's, yeah. You know, those are your options.
Or hearing, excuse me.
And just a reminder that if you do go to formal interview and you do... desire to maybe issue a suspension of a year or longer or revoke, you can do that after formal interview. It's just,
you go to a formal.
You go to a formal interview, and if at the end someone said, I think we ought to suspend for longer than a year, then you could go to formal hearing still. So you can step up in your investigative process. Or you can skip straight to formal hearing. And just variety of options.
The allegation is more than just bad draping.
And then his return response was very different from what hers was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
180.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe a formal hearing. That's what I think.
One thing you got to remember is, I'm just saying, that I've been complaining about. He doesn't know who client is.
Right.
I just said, I sent a general statement that the individual made these allegations against. So how do you know what person it is? That's what you got to take in mind.
Her statement is, I mean, summary of allegations, pretty concise, but the circumstances are lacking.
Well, the thing is he came back with comments very similar to what she made, but the opposite way. Okay. So, right, you got it. And so that instance is something that perhaps you knew coming out of that treatment room at the end.
You know you were in trouble?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily that you're in trouble, but that... his comment was she was upset that she is disappointed that I'm not attracted to her. And he said, I'm professional in my work. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting that I read her complaint and then his response. And I appreciate knowing you don't let them know who the person is, because it looks like he nailed it as to who it was.
I think John's correct, though, that this calls for a formal hearing.
May I hear a motion?
John Ortega, I move that case 19-153 be moved to formal hearing.
Bill Beard, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right. And we'll go from there.
Yeah.
We'll call everybody, then we'll get to Two Sides Street.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Working for number six, D1, Shindina Begay.
Is she here?
We're going to discuss the license applications. This is about license application. What number is she on?
D1.
D1.
I'm 61.
No, I was talking about in here.
Page
244.
55.
Yeah, 255. Yeah.
Not sure I like this system. I can't keep up with it.
Yeah, I'm having trouble too.
smaller computers.
Well,
it,
yeah. Well, they are smaller computers, but it's
2006 DLI 7.
Right.
It should still have a tab.
Guess I'm losing it. That's my problem.
Oh, where put the bookmark?
There you go. Oh. Oh,
and then
okay.
You can open that later.
Oh, boy. We get a lot of stuff in here, don't we?
Okay, that was a problem. I've just been having a hard time keeping up. Okay. So, Mr. White, you want to give us a... Or what if...
We're in a case on 19-158-1959.
Actually, we're on license...
Shin, yeah, Begay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Begay, yeah.
And I can probably jump in as Andrew grabs his materials and just note it's there were some background hits on
yes.
her
a bunch of them.
From the legal perspective, short of executive session advice, I'd say that you don't have any felony or moral turpitude mm-hmm. convictions, which would be grounds for denial of licensure. This would have to fit more under the kind of catch-all stuff,
right?
Having committed an act that could violate your statutes or good moral character.
Was she notified of this hearing?
Yes, she was notified by phone. She's in California.
But as was noted, there is a number of contacts with law enforcement with some guilty convictions, but for again non-felony, non-perpetuity type thing.
Is she coming into the state, or did she just graduate?
We can get her on the phone.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Begay.
Yeah, I think talking to her on the phone would be a great idea.
Well, because my biggest concern is some of these go way back if she went through school.
You may want to consider, you could table it to invite her for a discussion if you felt you needed to get more information.
So she is or isn't available by
phone? No, I thought I had the wrong person. I was going that way. That's the position of. Not the other.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know if this town has been here.
This is on the reservation.
Yeah, it's on Navajo Res.
Oh, okay.
Right on the border with New Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we have no legal grounds to deny her, correct?
Not under your criminal conviction statute. You would have to say that you can deny someone a license for having committed an act that would be grounds for discipline, and having a conviction of these natures it wouldn't be, but maybe with a few DUI contacts, things like that, you might have a substance use concern.
Does she have warrants out against her? What's our recourse for that?
You don't. There's nothing that specifically addresses warrants. The convictions she has aren't grounds for denial by themselves. But, for example, I can have 12 misdemeanor DUIs. Not one of those is moral turpitude or a felony, but you would have grounds to deny me because I have a potential substance use issue. So, just to try and be a little analogy there, but...
What about false reports to law enforcement? I mean, is that moral turpitude?
It depends. Not really.
Moral turpitude does typically include crimes of dishonesty. I'm trying to find that link. That's part of your packet. That was 2008, so it would be
over 5 years.
Five-year window, anyhow.
Most of that stuff is over 5 years old. None of them buy it.
So, I mean, I guess it would appear like perhaps your two primary options are to grant the license because you're not seeing anything recent or serious enough not to, deny the license but offer a consent agreement for licensure, which would cover perhaps a probationary period for some substance use evaluation. That could be if you had substance use concerns. Or thirdly, I should say, you have three options: table the matter and require her attendance so that you could speak to her. Mm-hmm. I don't really see much else, though, besides for the denial of the license would have to be kind of a totality of the circumstances. It's not any individual conviction. It would just be more of a pattern of repeated law enforcement activity and a lot of...
When was her last? Am I not seeing it? Well, her last criminal. I mean, is this all stuff from when she was younger?
There was false report in 2018, April of 2018, and then March of 2019, a DUI, which... No, excuse me.
The incident date was May of
2018. May of last year with the DUI, which she pled guilty to. I think I agree with Mr. Ortega that the... there aren't really any grounds to deny it. Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move we grant a license to Shandina Begay.
John Ortega, I second.
I do.
Spoke to earlier. You can have further discussion if you choose.
We can?
Yeah, after
March. Because my only concern is there's a lot there, though, you know, so I almost like the idea of a consent agreement on it. I mean, I know there's maybe probationary period or something. If she's clean, there's no problem. Can it be a non-disciplinary probation?
No. No. Probation. Okay.
Call the question.
You can take a vote and see where you're at.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Nay. All against? Nay. So, 4-1. Yeah. I feel like it should have been just... Okay. It still moves. Okay. Next one. Richard Torres. Thank you for pointing out the bookmark thing. That's made all the difference in the world.
Of course, to have his license, reason I'm having
to reapply.
I'm going to give us a little brief, just a few minutes on that.
Yes. Just for the record, my name is Ricardo, not Richard, so I want to make sure you guys have the right person. It happened 5 years ago, and there hasn't been a day since. I didn't regret what happened. It's not who I am, and a horrible
choice. Speak up, please. Speak up a little bit, please.
It was a horrible choice on my part, and like I said, I regret it every day since. You know, I thought I would never get my license again, so I had different careers, truck driver and stuff, and I was never happy, and that's when I realized Ms. Hodge was the only thing work-wise that made me happy. I regret everything, and then, especially with all this Me Too movement coping, you know, happened right now, and the constant reminder of what happened, and,
Just a point of clarification, the revocation occurred under this licensing authority or another licensing authority?
This licensing.
This licensing authority. Okay.
Both.
Both? Oh, okay.
If I understand right, you can correct me, but you had a Scott City issued permit
that
had also been revoked prior to ever getting a massage
license. That was, okay. I had an assault charge, and when I applied for my Scottsdale license, I didn't put it on there, thinking it was a expunged, but it wasn't. So they suspended my license. And then when I applied with the state, that came up again, so I was suspended for like 6 months. And then I reapplied and got it.
So our place is, excuse me, got it too close this time. Our place is to ensure the public safety. Help me understand why we should feel safe.
Because it's a huge mistake I made. You know, I made 5 years ago, and it's a huge mistake, and I regret it, and I'll never do that again. You know, it's...
Can you explain your mistakes?
I just can't emotionally, financially. You know, relationships, everything. So don't do something, my girlfriend, that I'll never do that again. Or even try to. She was a willing participant for a while, and she stopped. But even then, I would never do that again. I don't want to jeopardize that ever again.
Mr. White, can you explain what his mistake was?
Vagina for approximately 3 minutes before he stopped.
No police report?
This happened in 2014. It was a quick show of the police report. I got to look at it.
It was 2013.
Okay.
24.
And just for the members of the board, the findings of fact from the order are on page 307 of your packet. If they're short enough, they read, on August 24th, 2013, female massage therapy client JD received a massage from the respondent. During the massage, respondent touched JD's genitals and offered to perform oral sex on JD. He had conclusions of law of engaging in sexual conduct with a client, sexual activity. Which is the direct touching of any part of the genitals, offering to engage in sexual conduct and making sexual advances, requesting sexual favors, or engaging in any other verbal or physical contact of a sexual nature. He was revoked in March of 2014. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're, just for the record, too, I think that the application is premature. You cannot receive a massage therapy license within 5 years of having been revoked. The order is dated March 26, 2014, but your orders are not effective for 35 days following your order to allow the opportunity for rehearing or review. So by my calculations, the first day that Mr. Torres could reapply would be April 30th, tomorrow. That said, I think the board could essentially, you know, effort it and decide if you were inclined to grant it. I wouldn't say make him reapply and do this all again. You could express yourself, and if he was to reapply and the board says, we're okay with this, we're comfortable with you reapplying, then staff could just issue it on a reapplication. If you're going to deny it, that could just be an additional ground of denial, but I would ask that you also discuss the merits of the application, too, in case that was an additional ground for denial. But it's the attorney, you know, my advice to you is that I believe one basis to deny it is that you're only allowed to apply 5 years after a revocation. He is a couple months early on that. It happens today's consideration of it is the day before the April 30th, first day you could apply.
So when you said that she was willing, can you explain that a little bit more?
When I was massaging her, she was face up, and I was massaging her lower legs, and I got up to her inner thigh, and her body language. She opened her legs body language-wise, and so I moved my hands up. My hands were there for about 3 minutes, and then she asked me to stop, and I stopped, and then that's why I asked her if she wanted to warm oral. And she said, no, I'm fine, and I continued the massage. That she had a 60-minute massage. She continued the massage, and then she seemed fine when she left. She left me a tip, and 3 days later, I get a call from my manager saying that she's complained, and they fired me right there on the spot.
And John Ortega, was she a regular client of yours?
No, that was the first time I've seen her.
Have you done any kind of schooling, CEs, anything that, any besides regret? I mean, I know you said
therapy,
you're very regretful.
Any kind of therapy for?
I have. I was in therapy afterwards. I had more information I wanted to know, but I was on suicide precautions because of what happened, and I went to a psych hospital in Tucson. I was there for about 2 weeks. And I was counseling, and off and on for those 5 years. And just recently, I was in counseling because of being so nervous. Being so nervous to meet in front of the board, I went to talk to counseling.
I guess the question I would like to ask is, there's a level of trust that we as a professional have to establish. And I mean, my concern is, are you going to be able to do that?
I am. Because I realize how much I missed out. How much I truly enjoy doing massage and helping people out. And I'm good at it. Like I said, I was in other professions. I just wasn't happy. I would last 2 weeks and just quit. Find something else. A couple weeks and quit. I'm currently a nursing assistant in a nursing home. You know, I take care of the people. I love taking care of them, but the pay smells horrible. So it's a constant reminder that if I ever got my massage license back, I would never put myself in that situation.
So you made a comment.
Are you done?
I made a comment that her body language opened up. I didn't hear anything about asking a question, seeing if it was confirming, or seeing if that was what it was. So my concern is are you going to read it wrong again? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
even she,
because
she ripped it. Sorry.
That worries me. I mean, I'm concerned. You know, because that's just kind of reading what maybe you wanted to, you know, at that moment. You know, there was no communication of that what it is, because people will open up just so they get the massage done better, you know. I mean, it's just so you can get to the inner thighs, but they still want to be draped, they still want to be covered, and they want to still be professional. So,
and they still want to be safe.
Right.
Well, even if they were interested, it's your job to know you can't do anything during a therapy session.
Mr. Chairman.
Regardless of the circumstances or apparent contrition that the applicant is stating here today, the thing that troubles me the most is reading the original complaint and the actions that this board took.
I'm not really getting the sense from the applicant that he fully appreciates the fact that from a professional standpoint, a line was crossed, and it's a line that is basically inviolate, as I understand things. You do not cross that line, period, as a professional. And whatever the circumstances are outside of that, as a professional and as the body responsible for licensing those professionals, I can't see where any real circumstantial things have changed in this case. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move we deny the application.
I've been doing massage since 1996, and this has never happened. And so that moment, I had a moment of weakness, and then I wasn't thinking what my responsibilities are.
Looking at your reapplication, you put no for when they asked if you ever had your license suspended. Why would you do that?
My understanding was after 5 years, it comes off totally off my record. And I apply for my license.
The question for the board members is on page 287.
I was told that after those 5 years, I can reapply as a new applicant.
The question is, why did you check no, not why did you reapply?
Right. Why did you check no?
For that reason. I was just told it's a new application. So it's after I did my 5 years, my understanding was it's not on there anymore. So I would apply as a new applicant.
Mr. Chairman, I believe there's a motion on the floor.
I do, too. A second, though. But I do agree. Have you ever? Is that how it says? Which number was it?
This says, have you.
Five years.
Yes.
So all of those questions.
And
that caveat. Yes.
That's, yeah. That's why I answered that.
So we do have one motion on the floor.
If you get a second to your motion, I'd like to say something.
Go ahead, you say that.
Well, I think you need to get to the motion.
We're still thinking about a second. So.
Right. I would like to ask Mr. Ring a question. Can we offer a consent agreement to issue the license with a probationary period?
Well, I have troubles with issuing the license in any form because it's my opinion that he, until tomorrow, is not allowed by state law to apply for licensure. So I would not recommend offering a license in any fashion today.
Okay.
For that reason. That said, I'd hate to watch you just go back through the same process again. So I wouldn't have a problem if the board was to express an opinion as to whether it's willing to grant a license without conditions. That way staff would know when the reapplication happens at the correct time that it's free to issue the license. But I would suggest if you're inclined to offer a consent agreement that you consider denying it as premature and then take it back up in a future meeting when it's a timely application. But I do believe you can deny it today for a variety of reasons, but one being
sure.
Did the board read page 318? Go to page 318. And if you read it, it says, J.D. called me this afternoon and told me she received a massage from Ricardo Perez on 8/24/2013 at 1:45 p.m. at the Skyline location. He said that something terrible and inappropriate happened during the massage, and she could not keep silent about it any longer. When I asked her what happened, she said she was greeted by Ricardo in a professional manner, which completely put her at ease. Massage began face down, and like other massages she has had, she turned over to finish the massage, began to feel uncomfortable while Ricardo was massaging her inner thigh. She said that
he inserted his fingers inside her, asked her if he could go down on her. She told me that she was filing a complaint with the massage board and wanted to serve an advance notice about what happened. That's essence. And then she goes into her a breakdown of what happened into the massage you read it.
Well, we have the one motion on the board. So we can do that. Is it for untimely or just you just?
I just believe, Mr. Chairman, I move, restate my motion. I move we deny the application of Ricardo Torres.
We do, we do need to have a reason.
For timeliness and the seriousness of the original charges. For which discipline occurred.
Emily Clark, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. We go with that.
Any opposed?
Any opposed? No. Sure. Megan opposed this one.
Pardon? I'm sorry, I didn't hear Vice Chairman's motion. I vote Vice Chairman of the Chair.
Excuse me.
You were an aye.
No, I was for. I was the unanimous
vote. Okay. For. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. No, it was unanimous.
Thank you. License application, Finn Wang, 63.
Call her.
Yes, register.
No, this is the one with...
I don't think we need to call yet.
You want to give us a brief calling?
I'm sorry.
This call is for Feng Wing. This is the board meeting for massage therapy.
Yes, my name is Feng Wong.
Okay.
From a distance, that I believe on the department of the record,
show that the guilty portion for both sentences, for both charges. This Wong sent me a letter showing that Nebraska sealed the conviction, the file, and the case was moved to a not guilty status, but the CCH hadn't been corrected. And the CCH is still reflects that as we speak.
Was that part of the is that part of the judgment that if she stayed out of trouble, it was expunged?
It doesn't say that in the they still, you know something, I've been in law enforcement for about 40 years now, and I've seen them seal cases, but usually when they seal cases, that individual is a cooperating witness a lot of times, and it doesn't say that on the form anything about that she assisted the police in any manner. They just say that the file was sealed.
Oh, okay.
And I've never seen a seal for misdemeanor. I don't know. But the CCA said something different. Me and Michael talked about it. They said something totally different. And the letter, which is has the seal on it, says something else, says something totally different. And I guess Nebraska law, when they seal it, it's sealed. You know, you can't get any information.
And members of the board, just to, my take on it is that you don't have a conviction.
Yeah.
Really?
So you couldn't rely on any basis for denial that is because of a conviction. But you can't deny a license for having committed any act that would be grounds for discipline if it was done by a licensee. So you don't need a conviction necessarily if the conduct would be something that could rise to discipline, which prostitution-related things could be, of course, or for good moral character issues. So we, I asked Andrew to follow up a little bit with Nebraska just to confirm the not guilty status, and we were able to do that. Yes. And we let Ms. Wong know that you may still want to have some discussion with her about what this was all about.
Yes. No,
beyond that, we don't have police reports.
Yes,
but we know
they won't give anything.
Prostitution and solicitation. And
so, can we ask Ms. Wong what was the? Can you help us understand?
Yes. So it was my second day at work at a massage establishment in Omaha as a front desk receptionist. I was not a massage therapist at the time. And the police came in and basically arrested everybody that was working there, including me and the other massage therapist. But I wasn't working at the time, and the case got dismissed, and I didn't violate any laws. And so I gave the board the criminal complaint and also the journal entry that says that my charges were dismissed by the state without prejudice, and the order to seal records due to dismissal.
Okay.
This is Victoria Bowman of the Massage Board. You also have a license in Texas?
Yes, I do.
Are you planning on leaving California or moving to Arizona?
Yes.
Or Texas, or what are your plans?
My plan is to move to Arizona after I receive my massage therapist license, because you know I need to be able to support myself once I move.
Thank you.
So this is correct in my paperwork that she was convicted.
Well, we can ask her about that.
What's that?
This is John Ortega, also on the board. Were you convicted of this charge?
No, both charges were dismissed by the state.
Thank you.
I was never convicted.
And we got that verified through Nevada that they were dropped, or Nebraska, excuse me.
Yeah.
Now it's sealed.
The problem that we have is that I think CPA is telling the law that CPA is that it's law enforcement knows that they didn't put it in there. They got the guilty plea. Sometimes you have an open hand file on it. It might say Andrew White was arrested for it, drunk driving. Doesn't have any other
statements on there. But when it comes up and it says, you know, solicitation of prostitution, and then it got double guilties below it, somebody put it in there. And it happened somewhere. So somewhere along the line, I don't know what Nebraska, I'm saying I don't know about Nebraska, but that had never happened in any place I've ever been around when they have two different things in the computers.
So based on, this is Bill Beard. Based on what Mr. Rain, you were saying, and what I'm hearing from Mr. White, you've done due diligence with the state of Nebraska about this situation, and basically Nebraska says...
It's sealed. That's all they say. It's sealed.
So whatever you get out of the system is...
Sealed as acquitted.
As acquitted.
Okay. So despite what CCH says, so there's a contradiction here in the paperwork?
Yes.
Well, and Ms. Wong, correct me if I'm wrong. I think what you're saying is you were never convicted. It wasn't a conviction that was later...
Yes, I was never convicted, and there wasn't any sort of plea deal or anything. And I did give the board the copy of the criminal complaint and the journal entry. And the journal entry says that the the charges were dismissed.
Andrew, I think, is on the same page, but if not, let me know. But that the ultimate status was she is not convicted.
In light of that, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the application of Feng Wang.
Victoria Bowman.
Emily Clark, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you, Ms. Wang.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
F, unlawful use of the massage therapy designation and unlawful practices, file number. They're compliant now?
Well.
They're going to be dismissed?
Well, let's let the board.
Okay.
You want to give us a...
Are we doing Ferguson or Hearst?
He's got Hearst first.
You doing Hearst first?
No, whichever one you have.
I'm doing Matthew Hearst.
Okay.
Matthew Hearst was a licensed therapist, attempting to have an unlicensed therapist without an active massage license.
Oh. Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's being presented to the board. They have to make the decision.
Right.
But could you, I mean, what was the basis for...
She was inquiring about, she wanted some type of charity organization on the west side of the city, and she was inquiring about having unlicensed massage therapist perform duties at that location. Well, I sent her a few specific notifications, letting her know that you have to have a licensed therapist at that location. I might have jumped the gun a little bit, but my job was to make sure that she could do that. And she complied and said that she would get an inquiry.
Well, people do that. So my suggestion is that I'll make a motion that we dismiss.
Yeah, I mean, and I think sometimes we just use the terminology take no action.
Take no action.
Close the file. Because it's not like an open.
Could be voted
thing.
On?
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah.
Do we need a motion?
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good.
Okay.
Amber Ferguson?
Okay. Ms. Ferguson, obviously, the non-complaint about Ms. Ferguson.
She's here, too, though.
Yeah, she's here. Essence of tranquility.
At
their location.
So, first, Ms. Ferguson, you and I don't know if we've met before or not. I know we have mutual friends because I go to Safford a lot.
You did, yeah. I'm Safford.
So, do you feel comfortable that I can be impartial and on it, or would you?
There's
no right or wrong.
There's
no right or wrong. We have a full committee here. I can step down. I can recuse myself and let them decide.
Okay. All right. I'll probably go with that because we have all mutual friends.
Yeah, we do. We have several mutual
several.
Friends. Several. I'm in the gavel. You need the gavel. You get the gavel temporarily. I'm going to. Do I have to step back?
You can. Just for this.
Just slide back. There you go. Okay.
You'll get a point.
Mr. White, would you clue us in as to file 19-158?
I'm receiving non-complaints that the first thing was doing the size the
Actually, I've never had a license. I can introduce myself real quickly why possibly massage got into this. I do a lot of energy work and yoga mostly and chakras and Reiki and this kind of stuff. But in 1998, I did take Utah College of Massage Therapy when I lived in Utah. 99, I graduated. I probably had about, I think maybe 1,000 hours, maybe a little bit less. I don't recall. I did do massage on my friends and family in Utah for a few years, and then I left to San Diego 2006 to 2012, where I did absolutely nothing to family or friends even, unfortunately. When I came to Arizona 2013, I began yoga, actually teaching and instructing yoga at the local EAC. I did do massage on family and friends. Most recent was probably last year, maybe even the year before. But I didn't receive any funds for it. And as for Essence of Tranquility, I'm there often and off and on. Sometimes I'm not there for a couple of months, and it's mainly for doTERRA oil raindrop therapy and Reiki and energy work over there. They also said that they included my home. So I don't know what that was about. I invite the public a lot to my home for different activities, actually, for the community, family, and friends.
Madam Chair, I'm seeing in the file a, looks like a flyer or an advertisement from online, headline treatments. With office hours and whatnot, but it does talk about massage, 1 hour, $65 is, and the website is azhotmineralspring.com/treatments.
That probably is Clarice at Essence of Tranquility advertising what she can do over at her facility. She runs a facility that does hot tubs, camping, massages, energy work, acupuncture, oil treatments, all sorts of treatments.
Mr. White, is it the contention that this flyer is part of this complaint?
The same location.
Okay, it's the same location. Oh, okay.
Could you describe for the board the difference between that facility you just mentioned and what you maintain?
Describe to him what?
Well, you said this was somebody else's flyer.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
if it's, if it's Essence and Tranquility, I'm not an owner. I'm not even. I just get phone calls once in a while if I want to do an oil treatment or a Reiki session or something like this.
Do you rent a space there, or do they have spaces available? Or
they have three rooms, and whenever there's a treatment of any sort, whether it be ear coning to massage, they're always available with the whole room. There's three.
Is there someone that is that works there that is a massage therapist licensed?
I have no idea who. I mean, I know some of the people that work there, but there's many employees, and it's a kind of a hippie place. So, talking about grounds, people, camping, and all sorts of stuff.
And then, just one other thing from the record that I want to make sure that the board clears up is that there is record in the board's materials of you having had a license with the board. Oh. I mean, I'm looking at your photographs, and it's got all your application. You had renewals.
I really don't. And my name was never Morris or Morrison either. I noticed that that was another name on my filing papers that you guys gave me.
This is
I was a McIntosh.
Amber Lynette Ferguson.
Before.
2009.
Formerly of Provo.
Oh, excuse me.
Social ending in 5-1. Here's your photograph from a 2009
renewal. Did you say my social ended in 5-1?
Looks like that.
What's your date of birth?
That's not me. My date of birth is 05/02/1976.
This is 85.
There is another, and that's, you know, I'm not involved in that part, but I would say if I looked at that photo, it could be you.
I know. You said I had a photo. I'm like, whoa.
A younger version from 7 years ago, perhaps, but it's not entirely different looking than you, so that's what...
That's what I thought it was there, too.
It's a mistaken identity in terms of having the prior license.
But the date of birth on this person is... The picture is 219.
And whether she had a license in the past isn't really actually that relevant. Obviously something weird was going on there.
Yeah.
There are 10,000 of us.
And out of Utah as well.
That's weird. I don't even know what to think.
Do you know Jin Shinjutsu?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, or Madam Chair, I move we dismiss this complaint.
It's actually unfortunate. Monday I went to a court hearing, and the person that had initiated the complaint said that she had a friend complaining that there, she said, prostitution and happy endings actually was the complaint, and I'm glad that was not what was actually said, but that's what was said in court on Monday. So it's somebody that's trying to seriously slander my name in town, and she's actually a relative of mine.
We have a motion.
Emily Clark, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved.
Yes. Gavel. So much better.
Yeah.
Lord.
Oh.
Thank you for coming down.
Thank you.
Hey. Aren't you glad it wasn't Jane?
Oh, that's a strange one.
Yeah. Save all the good ones for...
One of the first ones I can ever remember.
I know.
Okay.
She does. She used mostly. That's where they looked you mostly.
Okay.
Proposed 2020 board legislative packet.
Okay.
So.
We'll address this one. If the board will recall, last year, approximately a year ago, Director Ryan Edmondson let you guys know that he was putting together an informal committee to review current statutes and address any, updates that might be needed. This packet, this proposed packet, is what came out of that committee.
Hear. Tony, excuse me. They're not able to hear right now.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. So this proposed packet is what came out of that committee meetings. It's a lot to review, so I'm sure you guys are probably still reviewing it.
Would it be possible that we could get this as a separate thing so that we could look it over in the next month?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this is actually something that I expect will constantly be put on future agendas, for discussion after discussion. It was just something to show you guys that the committee did, put something together, and this is the best proposal we have now. I just kind of wanted to point out some of the major changes that are proposed. We'll start with licensing. One of the biggest changes is a new requirement to for the applicant to provide a self-query from the National Practitioner Data Bank. The proposal offers that all applicants must pass the MPLEX exam, not just those who graduate from a school outside of the state. The proposal does not... Okay, I have no idea what that just says. But it does not address changing or the hour requirement in any form. That was too much of a controversial issue for anyone in the committee to agree on. So that's something that the board is really going to have to discuss, because nothing was touched in regards to the hour requirement for licensure.
How does that jibe with this new law that was just passed of us accepting licenses from everyone else, for any place else?
Well, I think that's on the agenda in a few minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you can address it as compared to, if you can, in this subject matter, too. It's still relevant, I think, to the present agenda.
Okay. So in regards to HB 2569, that's something that we actually are still waiting for, one, for an effective date, because we don't know when that's going to go into effect, because it's dependent on when the legislature closes. Yeah. Two, we're waiting on sort of feedback from the Attorney General's office as to what certain requirements mean and how we are going to implement them. For example, one of the requirements is for applicants applying for reciprocity would have to establish residency in the state. How do they do so? What are we looking for in establishing that requirement? The only real big change would be that our current reciprocity statutes, you know, for the massage board is that you must have held a license in another state for at least 2 out of the last 5 years. This bill will change that down to only 1 year. Other than that, I mean, it's not very different from what we already have reciprocity-wise. So there's just a few questions as to how it's going to be implemented, but it's not anything that I think is going to change our reciprocity procedures.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, just something based on personal experience in the political world. Serving on this board, when it comes to these kind of legislative changes, it does make a difference to the members of the legislature when members of this board do contact them, both in the majority and the minority, about these kind of things, because you're speaking not just as a board member, but you've been studying this stuff long enough that you have some, you know, gravitas, if you were, when you're speaking to members of the legislature over there. I'm not guaranteeing that they're always going to listen, but you do have a little bit more than somebody, just average person walking in off the street, may have. So I would encourage members of this body, as things move forward, to contact their legislators, be it their own district, however you want to define it, and remind them that sometimes these kind of things, you know, they are bipartisan in terms of their approach, and contact both majority and minority members, and you'd be surprised at the response you may get.
I'm for, well, I can just say that I'm kind of for the reciprocity being a little lax in a sense, as long as they're in good standing. As long as they're in good standing and everything, I'm kind of for it. And I was the one that pushed hard for that last one to be. I really liked that.
Right.
Because to me, it was so much harder to get to move from our state to another. And people are getting more and more mobile, you know. So, but there's going to be a lot regarding the hours and stuff that we do need to. I agree with that one.
That will be a big discussion, yeah.
And getting our state to do the influx, too. So, I don't know, how does everybody else feel about that right now? We're the only state right now that doesn't require a national exam.
If you are a student in Arizona, you don't have to take the MPLEX. If you go through a approved school. If you come from out of state, then you have to have passed a national exam, and that's unequal. And so we penalize our citizens in that because they don't have to take the MPLEX, if they want to go out of state and move, okay, say their family moves, whatever. The reason doesn't matter. Because they haven't taken the MPLEX, they're not going to get reciprocity. So the MPLEX establishes a level of professionalism. It is a standard that I think needs to be met across the board, and it's unequal here because if you live here as a citizen, you don't need to take it, but anybody coming in has to, but then we are penalized if we want to move. So I think it's important that be established.
Do you think in this political climate they're going to add some more regulation to anyone getting a job?
I think it also has to do with public safety. Well, for this reason, I think some of the people that we've seen that things have come in since 2003, because that's when this law went through, that's when state licensure went through. So we have 15 years of massage therapists that have not had to take a national exam. And I think some of the problems that we've seen before our board could have been reduced if, in fact, they had to go to the extra effort to pass that exam.
Well, I think what most of these guys have done wouldn't matter what classes they went to, they were going to do it.
But they wouldn't have gotten a license if they couldn't have passed that exam.
Well, that's like saying because they decided to act deviant that they're not smart enough to pass an exam.
So I do. When I hear her say we're penalizing them is because, and I'm just going to use a personal story of a friend who went through school 10 years ago. I was her instructor, and, you know, I asked her. She said, I'm going to move to Colorado. And I said, well, what are you going to keep your massage therapy? And she goes, 10 years later, I'm not going to take the board. I'm not going to take the exam.
That's her personal choice, though.
But the thing is if we...
from doing it. It's that she chose not to do it.
Because it's strongly discouraged by the schools, because it's a financial. But if the test was the end result of the school... If the test was the end result of this school, that's what they go for. That's how they graduate. So,
I understand your point. I'm just saying, this is a state that doesn't even want nationalized testing for grammar school kids or high school kids. You think we're going to get through something for massage therapists?
We're going to try.
That's just my point.
Okay.
So, as we talked. We can take any one of these subjects, and we can probably talk for hours on them.
Right. That is true.
I agree with Victoria that even I would like to, I would like to reread some of all this and then bring specific questions and things to the table next month.
Right. Okay. So
keep it going.
We'd rather table this for the next meeting.
Well, were you looking for them to do any action today?
We're not going
to
really do.
No, not at all.
And
no.
You started talking about licensing, but I would be curious, were there any other big highlights?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, there were. Okay. So along the lines of licensure, so another thing, actually I think it's kind of a big change, is in the proposed legislature, it actually defines good moral character, which I think is very different, and, you know, especially watching what just happened with right. applications. So having defined it would actually limit, I think, you know, an ability to deny a license if outside of that definition.
Yeah, that's always bothered me as many years, because I'm a substitute teacher. And so when you get certified to be a substitute teacher, there are actually 3 pages of crimes that you've ever been arrested for, gone to trial for, been convicted for, or any, but there's 3 pages of crimes, and you check them all off. So there's no misunderstanding of what exactly does moral throw crimes against children mean, what exactly anything, because it's all set there in black and white. A few pages of crimes against children and other things, and drugs. But it's very black and white, so there's no argument of, does this cover it? Is this? So I've always thought that we could do better with how we describe what crimes will keep someone from being a massage therapist.
Yeah, in your current law, there's a rule definition of good moral character, but it really just mirrors your other licensing requirements.
Yes.
So good moral character is defined as not having been convicted of a felony. Well, not having been convicted of a felony in the last 5 years is already a licensing requirement, so it was kind of duplicative.
That's kind of what it is, actually. We took it out of rule and just put it in statute, and then, you know, the licensing requirements are just sort of the conviction that was just kind of stricken because it's defined in good moral character. So it was just basically showing how these requirements are defined in this wording. That's a big change.
No, when I was first on the board, we would deny people because they were caught for smoking weed. Now nobody cares about that. They just run them through, yeah, that's all right, go away.
Right.
But if I remember when we first started, we would actually deny them license.
Another big change is the proposed packet strikes, what was the exact wording?
board's ability to set a requirement for communication, was it proficiency?
Please.
Communication proficiency. That is the statute that allowed us to create a rule for those who needed to take the TOEFL and TOEIC. And as, you know, as the committee talked, we all, it was understood that that was basically unenforceable. And so it was the opinion of everyone that it needs to be stricken. And so that's the statute that effectively does that.
If I could say part of that was, is because when it was made into rule, it wasn't investigated really high, and we really have a high standard.
Right.
You know, we really have a high standard on it. So people had to get, people were not passing it, even though they still had reasonable communication. They had to have excellent communication. It was almost where it was. And that was just because there was a wording in there that made it, yeah.
Right. And in fact, it was that those exams specifically were designated rather than just an English proficiency exam. It was these specific exams, and as it turns out in further research, like when that was designated, there was no research as to what, you know, what the level of this exam is. And later on, the researchers were like, okay, that's why it's, everyone's trying not to take this exam because it's too hard.
So there was a few that thought we should have a much lower standard, and or it got stricken, because that was the committee.
Right, that was a debate again within the committee. Ultimately, we went this route, but, I mean, again, this is just a proposal to the board, so you guys can open that back up. That's
call 911. Well, and so
I've seen examples of someone who says, yes, English proficiency, and then we need translated. And it sounds like, from what I'm hearing, is that people were maybe saying yes because even if they needed to take the exam, and the exam was maybe too difficult, so they'd say yes, and then you find out they don't have proficiency at the hearing time.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's exactly what we had no mechanism to determine that at the time of application.
So the question comes with public safety. So, and that was the only question: is somebody of two different languages, completely different languages, is it safe? You know, is it safe? Yeah. If I'm, because for a person saying I'm having a heart attack, you know, they may not be able to understand that. So, versus, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a thought-provoking.
So moving on from licensure, in renewal requirements, the committee proposed to drop the CE requirements from 24 hours to 18 hours, but in doing so to also define that 6 of those hours must be in ethics, 6 of those hours must be in the practice of massage therapy, you know, as defined in statute, and then the remaining hours can be open to anything.
Personal development.
Personal development, exactly. Yeah.
The thing that I saw in that, on the ethics, that it had to be in class.
Right, they were live.
Yeah, live. Is that going to be like webinar live? The reason I say that is because we do have a lot of therapists that live in outer areas, and there's not a lot of places for them. So there's, I don't want to say a financial hardship, but for them to come and take 6 hours, they've got travel time, they've got overnight expense, and so will that also be available live? You know, and my question would be, on those 18 hours, let half of them be live and half of them be an online. When we're dealing with CEs for people that have done something that we feel there's the need for continuing education, I think it's important that they be done live. However, for the practitioners that are doing a really good job, then why should they be penalized to have to go and take the class somewhere? Why can't they be allowed to do at least half of them online. You know, you can do 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. So for me, there was a little question there as to, do they have to all be live? And I would say, you know, in a lot of instances, why? Why?
My standards, the way I understand it, like with the FSMTB, live now means as long as there's interaction. So it might not be at 3 o'clock in the morning. It might be at a certain time.
Right.
But you have to be in interaction where
but
there's...
But if you look at the way, if you have a driving a ticket and you opt to take the school instead of pay the fine, then you actually do it online, and it isn't interactive in that there's another person there. However, there's a time element that goes on in that you cannot go faster than so many minutes, and they have questions built in that have absolutely nothing to do with driving. They have a little story. My bonus daughter got a little speeding ticket. I watched her do this. And so there were funny questions that were woven in what lessons they were learning. And when you got through, you got asked those questions, and you had to get them all right. So there's a way to do that, to build it in, so the person actually is reading it and applying it, and they can do it at their leisure.
Right. I think with your point, though, it's maybe what we need to consider is what actually is available out there.
Right.
Because at this point, we put that in there, and there's nothing that actually designates that a live webinar is the same thing as a live class.
Right.
We just sort of address, you know, the definition as it currently stands in our statutes and rules. But we can, you know, address that if we want to change that. I think also we need to maybe go back and reconsider how much of this is available in a live format.
Right, and there's different availability in Maricopa County as what there is in the rest of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe there's more of us here, but I think we need to be sensitive to those that are not here and still qualified license. I don't want to see us penalize a person for getting their CEs.
Of course.
You know? Now, and I think when it's a infraction here, to have them have to go out of their way to do that, I think that's part of their lesson.
So let's put that in and let's define that and
yeah.
say what we want and what defines right. live and what defines.
Right.
Because there is a big difference of.
Right.
And or,
okay.
like you said, if you've been 5 years, maybe you can change it. Maybe we can
right.
change something.
So another major change to continuing education is that it would be required with every single renewal, not just those that are late or for therapists that are selected for random audit. So essentially what we would have is 100% audit with every single renewal.
And how are you going to verify that? They just put the courses in and...
They must provide proof of the certificates.
Okay.
A new thing was to add an inactive status for a license. This is kind of in response to a major, sort of demand for it. A lot of people know, you know, I'm not going to be practicing for a while. Can I put my license on hold rather than continue to renew it in order to keep it active? Because they know that if it's inactive for a certain amount of time, they'll start all over with a brand new application, and that's, you know, its own cost. So this inactive status was designed to do that for those who knew that, you know, they're not practicing right away, but they want to come back to the profession.
Sometimes if you don't have an inactive or an expired or some of these status, the only way to kind of turn your licenses is surrender, which is usually disciplinary, and
right.
they don't
right,
have
yeah.
just to stop working for them.
Right.
Right.
Would there, a toolkit, yeah.
would there be a time frame on the inactive?
There is not. Maybe that's something up for discussion. I
And then to reactivate it, what would be required to do the CEs for the previous 2 years? Or
right, exactly. So to maintain inactive status, they still a therapist must still renew. Basically, they're like applying every 2 years for that inactive status.
Okay.
There's no fee associated with that application, so they don't have to pay for inactive status. They don't have to submit proof of CE. Of course, they will not be able to practice while they're on inactive status, and they cannot use the title unless it is followed by inactive in parentheses so that people know that they're inactive. Mm-hmm. To come back from inactive status, they would then submit a renewal, like regular, showing proof of CE for the previous 2 years. Just the same requirements as if you're renewing mm-hmm. within your
right.
But would we want to put a maximum time frame on that? I would think so.
I don't know, because I think there's different circumstances. Let's say you have someone that's in the military, and it'll be stereotypical. The guy's in the military and the woman's a massage therapist, and they get moved every 2 years from place to place, but eventually want to retire here. That might be 20 years, as long as they stay inactive and did their inactive renewal. I don't know. I mean, I can see that there's different ways to look at it. What does it matter as long as they do their little paperwork every 2 years?
Well, I think what you would indicate or had indicated was that you would have to have completed your continuing education during your inactivity period. I mean,
just the 2 years prior, in other words.
Just the 2 years prior.
Right.
Okay.
But when you know that you're ready to come back, you'd start doing your CE.
You do your 18 hours and
yeah. Thoughts?
So I'm just trying to think if I was away from the profession that long, how professional I would be coming back.
That doesn't mean they're away from the profession. It means they're not practicing in Arizona.
That's a good point.
And actually, to that point, I believe in the inactive status proposal that they will need to disclose if they've held a license in another jurisdiction during their inactive status, that we get
and
verification of that.
Right.
So we would still receive a verification of that to know that they're eligible.
Does our statute apply to out of the country?
What do you mean?
To her point about, you know, if you're in the military and let's say you were in Germany or whatever and you were licensed there and there was some kind of disciplinary action, would you be required under our statute to disclose that?
Well, if you have a license with our board, you're under our jurisdiction. But,
That's...
If you put your license on inactive and then let's say you were active in California and you committed a discipline, I don't think being inactive here would insulate you from reciprocal discipline.
No, but overseas.
Anywhere. I mean, as long as you're licensed with us, whether you're active or inactive,
okay.
I'm not sure that the board would lose jurisdiction to consider questions about what you've been doing with your business and massage therapy. But it would depend on the facts of that given case, you know, and the timing.
They offer start
spouse of someone, though.
Oh, yeah, spouse.
Right.
Yeah. There's, a body of law about practicing federal jurisdictions or on the reservation. Mm-hmm. When you are licensed with a board, though, the jurisdictional questions kind of go away. You could be practicing on federal land. You would have never needed a license, but you have a license. So I would suspect, though I haven't had to litigate it, but being on inactive status here wouldn't mean this board couldn't care less about what you were doing somewhere else. And as April noted, you'd have to kind of reapply for that inactive status every once in a while.
Right. So essentially if...
And you could bring it up then.
If someone failed to submit a renewal for their inactive status, it would fall into expired status. So it's a lapsed license at that point. So then it would fall, to the procedures for renewing an expired status. The idea of forcing them to renew their inactive statuses so that they don't forget that they hold that license.
Mm-hmm.
2 years. It's 2 years, yeah. Actually, yeah, that's next up on my list here. So for expired status, currently a licensee can renew a lapse license up to 2 years, and it's just considered what we call a late renewal, and then if a license is lapsed for 3 years or within the third year, then it's what we call a reinstatement. And really the major difference is the late fee that they submit in order to renew. The proposed legislative changes that in that it's 2 years or done. So if your license is expired, you can renew it within the first year as a late renewal, or within 2 years, but with 24 hours of CE. Sort of that's a penalty for letting it lapse. And then if it's longer than 2 years, that's when you start over. So instead of the three-year thing, we're sticking with the two-year renewal period, because most people are, you know, they're used to it. They're defined by that. Your license is good for 2 years, or you're out of the game for 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, that was where the idea was in that particular proposal. Okay. The proposed statutes, repeal the statutes for a temporary license. It's currently not being used, and the way it's worded is kind of up to the discretion of the executive director whether or not to issue a license. Most executive directors don't. So, I mean, it's just kind of confusing a lot of people, and as you can see, you know, in today's agenda, it kind of became a big thing. Mm-hmm. There was also a strike for renewal notices. That's probably kind of going to be a big thing. Noticing the licensee that the renewal is coming up. It's actually in statute that the board has to do that. And it's not that staff doesn't want to do that. I think staff will continue to do that, but more as a courtesy. Right now we get a lot of feedback from licensees. If I didn't get my renewal notice.
So they're blaming us for them forgetting.
Right, correct. And so I think by taking that out,
and they
I think by taking that out, the notice becomes more of a courtesy rather than a requirement.
Right.
I had none. Next biggest change I had, and last biggest change I have on my list here, is the expansion of what sexual activity means under, you know, grounds for discipline. And when you guys look through it, you'll see, I mean, it is very much expanded, and I think that will define or not define.
What page does that start on?
Oh,
that's okay.
What is it?
It'll be number 28, I believe, in that list.
Well, I'm talking about the page on the computer. 414. Thanks.
Is that right?
Yeah, kissing.
Yeah, okay, so I guess technically 413 is where that starts.
I'm all with us.
Yeah.
Going through this next, and we can take a little bit of time, put a little bit of time into this next one.
That's really the last thing I have noted to inform you guys of the major changes that this proposal is suggesting.
Are we good?
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, April.
Mm-hmm.
Executive Director's report.
On the last item, let me just mention that one of the reasons we had that on your calendar today is because we have a May 31st deadline to submit to the ninth floor for a preliminary review. So we can still come back and talk again at your May meeting. Very quickly after that, we will be transmitting whatever the board roughly recommends. It's not your final product or final decision even, but substantially we need to provide structural proposed language for the 2020 session for a preliminary review by the ninth floor. So that's the reason we had this on the calendar today. Let me pass out, because we didn't get time to get this into your packets, the budget one-page sheet. We're within budget. We'll come out slightly above budget by June 30. There's nothing really remarkable to report there. Expenditures are programmed. The next item, well, I want to say something really quick, and then the next item I think you're going to find interesting, which is the concept of licensed therapists who volunteer in Arizona, not for compensation, for special purposes. April will tell you about a form that she came up with and how it can be applied and so forth. The only thing else I had is that, and I want to plug Garnet, our patron saint in Pima County, through her contacts and assistance, your board meeting in October will be, and is now confirmed for Tucson. And instead of using the state office building in downtown where parking is imaginary, yeah, we're going to be instead with the Pima County Community College system, and they're actually providing their board of directors room for each of you on the board to have your meeting on October the 29th. Thank you.
Wow. I would suggest sending a map with the appropriate parking facility, because it's an office complex and there are other office complexes immediately adjacent to it.
It's on Broadway and Swan, which only three people in this room don't know where that is.
But there are some adjacent office buildings and some you don't want to park in.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll make sure that anybody traveling from the great state of Maricopa has a map and written instructions and so forth. And really, your board meeting would not begin until 10, a half hour later than now, the 9:30, to provide the opportunity for an hour-long expository workshop that would be posted, but not for credit for those attending. However, those licensees who would be attending the board meeting would be eligible for their typical CLE, with providing that they sign in with Kathy and do the required hours and sign out.
October 29th.
It's the last Monday in October, which is
28th. The last Monday of October,
28th. 28th. I thought it was, yeah.
Okay.
So, Community College Board Room starting at 10. For those of you who you can choose to come or not come to the 9 o'clock, you'll be posted in case you do come. But Andrew White will give his remarkable repeat performance on complaints, where they from and how they sift into the system. And then the chairman has offered to do a brief Q&A, which probably would be at the end of the actual board meeting. And those who are still there who haven't fled would be included in that Q&A as well. And then we're going to make sure the agenda might be slightly more abbreviated than what you would ordinarily have. So if you start at 10, we're going to try to get done by 12. The community college is actually contacting or is volunteering their hospitality facilities and students to see if they would use this time to provide lunch. So that was something they volunteered. They asked if we had a budget, and I explained how there is no budget in state service for anything that's not obviously government function.
Right.
So that they're exploring that now as well. So that would be something that would be a very nice gesture. And they're already calling it the first annual. I suspect you're already doing some pre-marketing material, so Garnet's not responsible for any of that, but clearly is an agitator. But I think it's a great opportunity to get what is done here from a regulatory and oversight standpoint out in someplace besides here on the Capitol Mall. And I'm going to propose again, as we discussed before, in 2020, to have a second meeting, which would be in northern Arizona, most likely Flagstaff. Mm-hmm. But this will be a test case in October, and we'll see if it goes. So I think that's all I have for you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Where are we at on our... Oh, how about HB 2569? Or did we
that's just a copy. As April has indicated, it won't become law until 90 days after signee die. Michael Rain is going to tell you that he cannot give you a legal opinion today, as he's told us. But he can say it so eloquently, it won't feel painful. And then he will commit that the law department will probably have something more formally committing to an interpretation of the new law by fall. But I don't want to speak for the attorneys.
Yeah. That's basically it, that at least we were given direction that we are not to provide legal advice on this yet, but that it has gone up to a higher level than our section, and we imagine it's coming back down, and we'll have a general memo that we could then, you know, tailor for each of our specific agencies and see how it will ultimately apply to you. But because, as April noted, the effective date isn't even set yet, and it'll be a little ways down the road. Of course, the hope is we have enough time to tell you about it, but also to talk with staff about it in case they need to update forms or take actions or have interpretations on how to roll it out. So I'm hoping they will release us to provide that advice in a timely manner. But for now, you're left with the plan, just the wording.
Release the legal hounds?
Release the dog. Yeah. Well, and every single board, you know, among the dozens that our section of the Attorney General's office works with has a different reciprocity provision, so it's going to impact everyone a little differently. But hopefully, in terms of, you know, how do we treat residency, things like that, I think part of the goal is that would be uniform, because whether someone's a resident to the massage board should ideally be the same as whether they're a resident to the dental board. So while there'll be some unique components for each board, it's some of it's pretty general, and maybe that's, I don't know why they won't let us talk about it, but that's part of it.
Okay, we still have reciprocity with the AG's office.
Yes.
And this is just an update, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Corrects an electronic one that had a couple of typos.
I know, like,
take this and enjoy. It's the most current and correct version.
Thank you.
Like Vicki feels about once therapists are well established, you know, about CEs, because that's also another thing that we can also put in there about there. In that other was about after you've had so many years.
Well, how many people have a driver's license? Okay, really? Well, how many CEs do you do every year to maintain your driver's license?
If you drive to Paradise Valley, they will offer that opportunity. Repeated.
And if you're holding your cell phone.
Right, but you see, if you're competent in something, then at what point? Now, I agree that when a person, and you know, we can go back because I have twin grandsons that are over 16 now, and they have permits, and they have to get so many hours, not on the road, but like in parking lots and things like that, with a license, and then they can get stuff out on the road. And so when a person graduates and gets licensed by us, it is minimum standards.
So are you suggesting that those that have a driver's license are amateurs or professionals?
No comment. Yeah, but you see my point in that at a certain level, why do we need to keep doing CEs when our record's been unblemished for 20 years and we're doing a good job, and we have 10,000 licensed people and we only see a few? I mean, there's 9,873. They're awesome. Okay, and they're still cranking out their 24 hours every 2 years.
And my point in all that was, in regards to the reciprocity, when a person's been in good standard in another state, they're a massage therapist. I mean, every year I go to these FSMTB meetings, I see the integrity within all the states, and I see that people just really want it. So to me, you know, if they've been out there for a year, they're probably in good standing, they're probably, you know, if they're a massage therapist, kind of for, you know, not making it hard for them to get in here.
Right.
So
right.
That's where I'm going with that.
Chair, do we have this volunteer?
Yeah.
Is that something to still talk about?
Yeah. If we can just quickly ask April to present what she's invented and what we're doing.
I did not invent this. It is a statute, ARS 32-3217. This application was actually created by Ryan Edmondson just before he left. And it was, I think it's been posted on our website probably since, I want to say August or September, but
only recently, like, in fact, this month, did we get an application, did someone submit an application to register as a volunteer health service massage therapist. Essentially, they, under this statute, they can come into this state without an Arizona license to volunteer their services in a clinic or of the like for 14 days
per year.
Per year, and the registration is good for 2 years. And my computer
does
stopped.
That require that they be a massage therapist in another state, though.
Yes, yes. Part of the application is that they submit verification of their license, and we verify that, you know, they're in good standing.
So if they come in for a marathon and they want to work on people.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Right. I mean, they're here for such a short period of time, there's no point in, you know, applying for an Arizona license.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they do, I mean, it is required that they are volunteering their services. They cannot collect any fees. But then in response to that application that we received, the issuance letter that you see in here and the certificate for registration was designed because this person did qualify under that statute. And so really we just wanted to show you and let you know what's being put out there on your guys' behalf.
Because don't we have that same law for instructors? If they're licensed in another state, they can come in here in a registered school, just a minute school, and they can actually teach massage on their other license.
Something of that nature.
Huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, the definition of the practice of massage therapy is doing it for a fee. So an argument could be made. This is kind of a belt and suspenders here in Arizona, but at least if I was going to do it even without a fee, I would certainly come get the volunteer approval. So I was on paper, and no one would question, you know, what I was up to. Yeah, there's that. There's, you know, students, you know, performing clinical training. There's a variety of exemptions. But I haven't, for what it's worth, I haven't heard of any other boards having received one yet. So you're at least among the early people to get that. Maybe some of the other professions get it more often. I just haven't heard about it because they've been without problems. It's still somewhat uncharted territory for some boards.
Did you go?
Yeah, that's all I had on that.
Summary of current events.
Don't you have a current event?
Just that this is going to be my, this is Bill Beard, my final meeting, as I've taken a position with Pima County, and it will kind of preclude me from attending meetings in the future. So, I thank you for your time, and it's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
So, you always give up. Beautiful. No, you do. You give up. You beautiful, respected. I love having you on. So.
Thank you.
John Falls. Because
he's the George Will.
Sometimes the professional members, I love the way you guys both make us think sometimes. Right. You know, it's just like, hey, we got to step back sometimes. So I appreciate that. Discussion of possible actions for future.
Legislation.
The thing I had was the legislation.
Legislation will be the next. The next board meeting is May 20th. And is that because of the
Memorial Day,
right? Okay.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
I didn't get to that one yet. But
all in favor.
Aye.